With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy, they'll sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, you'll feel. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Rob and Akiva need a podcast, episode number 172, Around the Nicole Horn, where we are going to be joined here by a panel here where we will discuss topics moderated by the great TikTok Nicole Horn, but here with a man who is always around. Here he is, Uncle Kiwi, Akiva Winokur.
They could have been much worse.
Yeah. No, we don't say that word here on this podcast.
Yeah, we don't say that word.
Okay.
I'll take always being around.
Yeah. Uncle Kiwi, last week, yeah, you and I did commentary for the film, mm-hmm, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I got to say, we turned off the podcast. I expected that we might be raked over the coals. I thought I don't think people are going to like this one. Probably didn't work. I saw mostly positive feedback. I think we picked the right movie.
I agree. I think that's something we learned, is like, if people care about the IP, then it helps a lot with the episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But people did not care too much that they were precious about it.
No, nobody's like, oh, that's my childhood, you've insulted my whatever.
Yeah.
We brought up some takes nobody had thought of before.
I think so. Maybe a couple, but yeah, I actually listened to it back. I'm like, was this even something that was coherent if you were not watching the movie? And I listened to like 20, 30 minutes. I was like, oh yeah, this is making sense. So, mm-hmm, I don't know if we,
and you may not have been the target audience having recorded the podcast already and watched the movie that week.
Look, but I could tell if it's coherent or not.
Sure. That's true. That's, yeah, true.
And so I thought that was very surprised that it seemed to work. People enjoyed it. I heard from a lot of people that they watched the movie.
And yeah, I was impressed when people watched the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right.
I think
so,
we could do it again. We just have to find the right movie.
We could do it again. It would be entirely dependent on the picking the right film. But let's talk about the task at hand, because we have a, mm-hmm, a star-studded panel here today. Of course, let's first say hello to the woman of the hour here. The woman.
The reason for the season?
Yes.
Would you say?
The star of Around the Nicole Horn, who is going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting today. We're going to, mm-hmm, turn the whole podcast over to her. It's the great TikTok Nicole Horn. Nicole, how are you?
Feels great to be back. I can't believe I'm on a podcast with my name in the title. This is, mm-hmm, like how you guys feel every single week. So great week for my ego and my self-esteem.
Yes. Okay.
Technically, Rob has his name in the title every day, really, if you think about it.
No, valid. That's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nicole, how's everything going on TikTok lately?
It's been a little chaotic. This, mm-hmm, is Coachella weekend, so my For You page has kind of been assessed cesspool of influencers. So yeah. Usually it's more fun on the other weekends when everyone's not sweating in the desert, but lots of fun trends still. I see David Bloomberg. He's in the streets. A lot of the Survivor.
He's in the Coachella streets.
I don't think he's at Coachella, but he's holding it down while the influencers are there on the Survivor front, at least.
I would go to Coachella, Rob, if A, it was not like really hot outside, because I don't like the heat.
Mm-hmm.
If it was like in Minnesota or something.
Yeah.
And also if like the bathroom situation was better.
Yeah.
If it was in the Mall of America, I think I'd go to Coachella.
Look, you know, I don't know how the Mall of America is faring. I feel like that it's been a tough season for malls. Maybe, you know, if there are a lot of these retail shops are closing up, that could be a spot for Coachella in the future.
Indoor Coachella.
Yeah, I'd prefer to use the bathroom at the Mall of America compared to Coachella. That's for sure.
Sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. All right. Let's say hello to our panelists here today joining us for Around the Nicole Horn. Let me bring in. Okay. First, we have back with us here on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. Talked about a bunch of different spinoffs with him. So I guess that this is a spinoff of Around the Horn. Please welcome from the Married at First Sight wrap up, Jason Reed. Jason, how are you?
Rob, I'm doing good. I'm surprised that you had me on a show that we're going to be talking about our different opinions. Because last time I was on the show, we talked about How I Met Your Father, and people did not like my opinions on that show. So I'm hoping people like my opinions more here.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Jason, did I see, is Married at First Sight now on Netflix?
No, it's on Hulu. I don't know about Netflix. It's been on Hulu for a minute. I'm not sure about Netflix.
I feel like that maybe it recently got the drop.
Let me see. I don't think so. Let me check.
Okay. All right.
Come back to me.
I'll come back to you. And of course, joining us as well, fresh off of the critically acclaimed Severance post-show recap, please welcome our great friend and great friend to the RenapBot as well, Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz. Amanda, how are you?
I am... Well, I have COVID, so I've been better, but I'm always extremely happy to be joining you, Rob and Akiva. It's been a minute. I've been on Renap.
What was your last appearance with us?
My last appearance, I think, was it was Renap X when I gave my.
That was a while ago. Oh my God! Yeah, no, that can't be right.
No, it absolutely is. It was my fourth appearance. I was one away from a hat.
It's hat day, Akiva.
Oh, there we go.
I had a couple of pitches out to Akiva, but he's shunned me from the podcast for some reason.
Shunned.
So finally, I get back in it for my fifth appearance.
Okay. Akiva, are you familiar with the plot of Severance?
No, I know there's a lot of like, I think it's like a guy has a different life in work and out of work. He's like a different person.
Basically, you go to your work and then you don't have any memory of your life outside of work and vice versa. Would you like that?
So I guess I was familiar with
that. Yeah.
I feel like that's a good way to get people to work like 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like they're not going to be fired after.
Mm-hmm. Those vibes sound ranted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like kind of Scott. I'd probably like the show. Ask Amanda.
Yes.
Are you in COVID jail in your house, Amanda? Are you like away from everybody?
Yeah. Oh. So my husband and I both have COVID, and our children do not have COVID, and they need to be parented. So
I didn't.
So we're masked up, and our whole family is in COVID jail.
Yeah,
but it's kind of no offense to her, but it's kind of like a pretty like past. You know, cool time to get COVID at this point. It's sort of lame to get it in April.
No, it's cool again, Kiva.
Right, I mean, after I got cool COVID, I got COVID, so it's very COVID hot back? And trendy. Yes.
Yeah. The Gen Zer says it's hot and trendy now. So yeah, I'm going to go with that.
I guess there was a point like, you know, if you got COVID back in the day, I mean, it was like national news. Like you're Tom Hanks, you get COVID, like Andy Cohen, like, you know, like if you got it at the right time, like there were like people like
Cloud City,
right? They're lighting candles for you. Yeah. That's like, oh, you got COVID. I was like, so what?
Yeah, I guess I was misinformed, and I thought I was doing something really cool. But thanks for bringing this to my attention, guys.
Yeah, I guess we don't have
like,
friends.
It would be like if you played with Pogs now or something.
Well, I'll let you guys know when I get it, because when I get things, it's usually 5 years after it's cool. So I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, it would be very chuggy when you got the.
Oh no!
Yes, Amanda, just one quick thing on the Severance Plus show recap. The podcast is done really well. I know you just recently had one of the actors from the show.
Yes. We interviewed Michael Turnus, who has a really fun role on the show. That was great. That podcast just dropped a couple days ago. Actually dropped. So that would have dropped on Friday. The recap has been doing great. It's been so much fun. I'm talking to Josh Wigler and Melissa Woodward about Severance. The show is over, but we're going to do a couple more feedback shows because the community has been super engaged and we've just had such an overwhelming response. And if you haven't checked it out yet, it's a really great show on Apple TV Plus.
And also it got renewed for season two, and I hope you keep a seat warm for Akiva and I if we get to season three, episode seven.
Oh, we'll see. You think you're gonna would you be interested in watching season three, episode seven of Severance, Keeve?
I mean, that's going to be like 2025, so I'll commit to that now, knowing no one will remember.
They're banging them out. Yeah. I mean,
it's hot. They got it.
It's an easy show to shoot. They shoot like an Office Space. It's
right.
It's like they were like, should we make an escape room here or film a TV show? And I'm like, all right, let's do a TV show. Okay.
Would I like it?
I think you
watch a bunch of different stuff.
You like The Office?
That's such a loose
form. Is it like The Office?
Basically the same show.
You like a bunch of different stuff. Okay.
No. Abbott Elementary is the same show as The Office.
Hot take.
Yeah. Is that a hot take?
It definitely is. It's not. That is the Office. That's The Black Office.
Yeah,
that's
what it's that a shot is. For shot remake of The Office. It's very good.
Okay. Points all around.
That's the Jim and Pam of it all. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I know where this is going. Yeah.
It's a great show. Let me say that. It's a fantastic show.
Incredibly great. Imagine, like,
is there a Dwight?
What's that?
Is there a Dwight?
Oh
yes, there's a Dwight.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, very similar. Yeah. Very similar. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So can we explain how this is all going to work? So Nicole has the list of topics. She has the ability to assign points to our panel. If you're familiar with the show Around the Horn, which has been on ESPN at 5 o'clock for how many years, Akiva?
I think 25 years or something.
I don't know if it's 25.
Like low 20s, I think.
Maybe low 20s, because I feel like that. I don't even know if PTI has been on for 25
You're right.
Years.
It's probably like early 2000s it started, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Like right around there. And so we have a host with a bunch of topics. There's sports reporters from around the country and around the horn. They are debating different topics that get thrown out. Nicole, our moderator, will have the ability to assign points, deduct points, mute the panelists, and at the end we will get down to our top two scorers, who will then face off in a final head-to-head matchup, of course, with Nicole being the only judge that we need to impress here today,
as it always should be.
Okay. Akiva, is there anything else that we need to set up for the listeners before we get into Around the Nicole Horn?
No, I think it's very simple. I think if you don't know the ESPN show at all, it's you know, very we're just getting points. And, it's a little bit like At Midnight also, where you're getting points for our good takes, losing points or getting nothing for our bad takes. And hopefully I'll win.
Is the show on actually before PTI or after PTI? It's the Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune of ESPN.
Depends what market you live in.
No.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
It's I believe it's on beforehand.
It's on beforehand. The host of the show, that he was originally known as Stat Boy on the PTI. Nobody, Tony Rialli? That's in his name?
Tony Rialli.
Rialli, that I refer to him as the Ted Mosby of TV hosting. Nobody cares about him. He's the centerpiece of a show that is widely popular, but really that he's the least famous person at ESPN.
I hope he doesn't listen. I hope nobody ever related to him listens. Like, that's pretty harsh. But everything you say is right. Like, I don't think if you walk down the street, like, hey, you know Tony Rialli by name. No, I mean, he's got 750,000 followers on Twitter.
What are his tweets like?
You know, he's tweeting a lot about Around the Horn.
Yes.
About sports.
Okay.
I think,
does he have takes?
Someone tweeted today, I hardly watch Around the Horn on ESPN. What's the point of the points at the bottom for each analyst?
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
So he responds to haters. Good to know. That's how I'll build my following up.
Yeah, you should do that too. Not that you have haters, but.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Tony Reale, he liked the Tom Seaver statue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Definitely know what that is.
Yes. He said about the Tom Seaver statue. Perfect. Seaver had awesome proportions, good thickness, a big face, and dropped down very well. Tom Seaver was thick,
good,
Akiva?
Good thickness.
He was one of the thicker pitchers.
Yeah. Almost thick.
Okay. Give him 3 points. That boy, you're on the board.
Okay. All right. Is Tom Seaver thick? Okay. First question. All right. Anything else? So I think we're good. So, all right. So I will now, you know, I'm back to a lowly panelist. We have our own stat boy behind the scenes. Sam Moore is going to be keeping track of the points. If you're watching us on YouTube, those points are going to be updated at the bottom of the screen as fast as Sam can keep up. For our audio listeners, Nicole will be saying out loud when she is going to be assigning points or deducting points or muting people on the panel. We will have a couple of minutes to talk about each topic. We will raise our hands so Nicole can call on us, and there is no speaking out of turn.
High level of decorum on this podcast, as always.
Okay. All right. And so without further ado, I will turn it over to you, Nicole.
All right. Let's get rocking and rolling. So our first topic, Twitter, is it really the worst social media? I'm going to give it to Jason. Let me know how you feel.
Twitter is definitely the worst social media. I think more than any other social media, Twitter is the one where you get opinions that you don't want, that you don't need, just butted into your timeline. The algorithm makes no sense. They don't have any chronological order. They just shove stuff into your timeline anywhere they please it. So yes, Twitter
give
is
them a
definitely
point.
The worst social media platform.
Yeah, give them 2 points, actually. That was great. Give them 2. Amanda, how do you feel about that? Want to rebut?
I would love to rebut. Twitter is the best social media because it can be a repository for every dumb thought that comes out of my head.
1 point.
And then I post something and maybe one person likes it, maybe two people like it, but I instantly feel validated for saying some stupid thing that wasn't even worth me calling a friend or texting a friend about. I can just put it out on Twitter, instantly get some validation. If people don't like it, I can fight with them.
2 points. 2 points. Give her a total of 3. And Rob, jump in.
I don't know how we're saying that Twitter is the worst social media. What would you call it? Network that you have out there. I mean, I guess if you feel this way, I guess you're probably okay with Truth Social. Okay. Also, is the first time.
I'll give him a point.
Yeah. Are we not talking about Facebook? I mean, talk about, don't even worry about the disinformation on the Twitter. Facebook is people, the thing about Facebook is that people are earnestly believe the disinformation that you see on there. And also, Facebook is trying to pay off marketing agencies to do hit pieces on TikTok.
You know what? Give them another point. That's very valid. Keith, you have anything you want to add?
Yeah. So a lot of people made valid points, but they're forgetting the main player in this. I don't know what Truth Social is. It's not as bad. Actually, I do know what it is. Still, it's not as bad as LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the worst social media platform.
2 points right away.
By far. Every LinkedIn post is like, once I was down on my luck and I didn't know what to do. And then like I had an idea. I would build Tinder for a garbage man. And anytime you need a garbage man, and now look at me, I'm making my own money. If you want to build your own, like come to my $195 an hour class that you will, you know, and LinkedIn is horrible. It is truly, you could get cancer just looking at it. It's terrible. LinkedIn is the worst social media platform.
Well, now I'm not going to send you a happy work anniversary message, Keeve.
Oh no. You know what? I didn't need your connection anyways, Keeve. But also, I do go on social media, and it's always some dude in jorts yelling at me for not waking up at 4 a.m. So I'll give Keeve another point for that. Bring him up to 3. Do we do any other takes, or are we moving on to the next topic?
We could move on to the next one, but you should respect the rise and grind lifestyle more, Nicole.
Yes. You know what? I could never be a student athlete, so I would never know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nicole, if you want to tell us the correct answer also at the end of the segment, that would be great, too.
So Twitter is not the worst social media platform. I think Facebook is a lot worse. I think LinkedIn's a lot worse. There is bad misinformation. So I gave Jason another point. But the reason why I gave Amanda 3 points is because I love validation as well. I love treating Twitter like it's my diary. And sometimes I forget that like my grandpa can see it. But you know what? The fact that I don't have to think about it is why I love it so much. So I'm kind of in the middle, but it is not the worst. And that's on that period. So we'll move to the next topic. All right. This one's a little bit crazy, but bear with me. Would you accept $10 million, but in exchange, you must drink a bottle of mustard every morning for the rest of your life? Rob, start us off.
So while the money certainly would be enticing, a bottle of mustard is an enormous amount of mustard. You might take this deal. I don't know if you could get through one day with a bottle of mustard. And what happens to the money after you get to it? That I don't think you would survive. I think that you might take the $10 million and then you'd be dead at the end of the week. And no human being can consume a bottle of mustard a day. Kobayashi is not doing a bottle of mustard a day.
I'd like to see the data on that, but you know what? I'll give you a point for that, even though there's no scientific evidence to prove that on hand. Keith, you want to join?
I mean, if mustard is so dangerous, they should have a warning on the bottle saying consuming a bottle of this in one day will kill you. I feel like there would have been lawsuits. You'd be reading in the news like once in a while. Hey, you know, Johnny Smith of Bloomington, Illinois died. Ate too much mustard was the cause. Yeah, obviously that would be gross, but like you got to do, I'm sure people have done way worse things for $10 million than eat mustard. I would happily do it. I would do it for less. I would do it for, I would have mustard.
How much would you do it for?
I mean, I don't make $10 million a year in my job.
And give me a number and I'll pick your points.
If my job switched from being what I do now to just having a bottle of mustard, I would have to strongly consider it. And that's a lot less than $10 million. So
okay,
that's my price.
I'll give you a point for that. I appreciate the passion. I saw Jason's hand first. You want to jump in?
Yeah, listen, I think it depends on the size of the mustard. There are mini mustard bottles, and then there are Sam's Club bottles. Like, if you tell me a mini bottle, I'll take it. But if I had to do the Sam's Club bottle, I'm going to spend all my money on cleaners to clean up the throw up every morning after I down this Sam's Club size of mustard. So I think it's just depending on the size, but my initial thought is no.
Well, you'd be puking in your own house. So that's also another externality you have to consider. You know what? Valid. I'll give you a point for that. Amanda, you want to close us out?
So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, my friend Rob made a lot of great points here about the quantity of mustard and its safety for humans. Akiva said, why isn't there a warning on mustard? I think this is akin to the cinnamon challenge, where it seems like you should be able to have a tablespoon of cinnamon, but you can't. Nobody's putting warnings on the cinnamon bottle. I also want to remind people that mustard is a toxic substance. It's been used as mustard gas.
Yeah.
Anybody hear of it? So
point for her.
I mean, I think mustard is delicious. The money is definitely appealing, but I think that this is an ill-advised deal, Keeve. I wouldn't take it. I think you have to keep your job.
Okay. Yeah, Rob, you wanna finish up?
Yeah, I think also it's very important to note. Is this spicy mustard? Is this deli mustard? Is it yellow mustard? I think that's also a big factor. I think Kiva is a fool for wanting to take this deal. It's not $10 million a day.
A lot of mustard bottles come in really small sizes.
Okay, decorum, Akiva. It's
$10 million once, and this is going to be your full time job. I mean, I don't know how many years you have left, but if you divide $10 million by
probably less if I'm eating mustard, if my diet is mostly mustard, probably not as much as I hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worry about your sinuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every day for the rest of your life. I can't believe Keith.
You'd get used to it by day seven.
If you skip a day, do you have to pay the money
Give
back?
The money back. Yeah. You owe them the money.
So due to the logical fallacies, I'm sorry, Keith. I'm going to take your point and give it to Rob.
Oh, no. What about, I could imagine, like, if you have to do it every day, what about on, like, Yom Kippur? You have to, like, ask a rabbi, like, all right, here's the deal I made.
Okay, can we be innovative? Can we put it on something instead of just taking it to the head from the bottle?
Like, the whole bottle? What do you need to put it on? Giant hot dog?
Yeah, like, you can have, like, a few hot dogs a day, or, like, you know, put on a hamburger.
Deviled
like
eggs, Amanda?
Deviled eggs? Oh, very popular choice, yeah.
Yeah. Is that what Jonathan from Survivor is doing?
I think so. He drinks a bottle of mustard with his ATM.
Does he know something we don't? I think he does. I think he's got $10 million. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we've come to some good conclusions on that. I don't know if Rob got that last point that round. I gave him one of Keith's.
What's the score update, Nicole?
So in my head, I thought Rob has 4, Jason has 3, mm-hmm. Amanda has 4, and Keith mm-hmm. has 3.
Close race.
Close mm-hmm. race. You know, anyone's in it. You know, but this is where the men become boys, women become, you know, you know what? We're going to just move along.
Going backwards? we're getting bigged?
Men become boys, women yes. become...
That's a horror movie, babies? Right, Amanda?
Mm-hmm. Big is I think that is a scary movie. Yeah.
Benjamin Button vibes, you know, mm-hmm. casual. Okay, let's move along. Is it murder if it's a plant? Jason, tell me how you feel.
I'm going to say no, because if it is, then I live with a serial killer. As my wife, she is famous for buying plants and killing them. So I'm going to say no. I'm also going to say no, because it's so, too easy to buy a plant. You can just go to a store and buy a plant. It shouldn't be that easy to buy things that can be considered murdered if they die.
Valid. Give him a point. Rob?
I think it is murder. If you knowingly destroy a plant, sometimes, look, there's plant slaughter, okay? You bought the plant, you forgot to water it. That's you know, no court in the law, in the land, is going to convict you for that. But if you were like, hey, I hate plants, guess what? You're a murderer.
I don't know how to feel. I'm going to keep you no points, but Amanda, mm-hmm. go ahead.
So, Rob, I think that you did make a very important distinction between benign neglect, which, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to say I'm just as guilty of as the next person of letting some plants languish, to the issue of intent. But Robert, if this is the case, then every farmer is a serial killer. Are we yeah. charging these?
Well, Rob already thinks that even before
these
that.
Wonderful people who are providing food and feeding our populace with mm-hmm. murder just for giving us the nourishment that we our very selves need to live.
Mm-hmm.
Can't yeah. argue with that. Give Amanda a point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that they are. That's basically, that's what we're doing. I mean, it's not, look, it's for a noble cause, but I mean, like, you're just cleaning up the language.
But Rob, to your wow. point, if there are people buying plants just to kill them, I think there's probably some other things in their history that we need to look
that's
up there.
That's how they get started.
Besides the murder of plants.
Yeah. When you go to Home Depot, you buy a bunch of plants. They should be asking you some questions. What are you doing with them? Somebody
That's
should come
point.
And check
I'll need
in.
A background I need a background check to buy a plant. I need a background check to like buy a like animal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Akeem, you want to say anything? You know, yeah. I'll give you a point for passion, though. I don't want to let you. I appreciate the rhetorical analysis.
Wrong
of
and strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've never owned a plant. I never will own a plant. I don't even understand. I don't understand why someone would own a plant. Like, I guess aesthetics, but like then get a fake one. You don't have to water it or whatever. It probably looks the same, and they don't die. I to me, it doesn't make any sense. I don't. I'm sure like people do it, so I'm sure to them there's a reason, but. To me, owning a plant is pointless and useless and a waste of time.
Sounds like you're a murderer.
Yeah, but I will say the type of person, like if you found like actual serial killers, I think that they're probably 85% more likely to have a lot of plants in their house. Are they murdering the plants? No, they're probably taking care of the plants and killing the people. But I feel like someone with a lot of plants in their house, watch out for them. They could do anything.
Wow.
That's a really hot take. Oh my gosh. I'm like literally looking at my cactus like, am I the problem?
I have a cactus right here on my head.
Oh, twins.
Mm-hmm.
So because I don't know if I can agree with that take. So I'm going to keep you at 3. And I think that brings us to the end of the plant murderer conversation. But honestly, I could talk about this all day. This was very enlightening. But I guess we can move on to the important stuff. Like the only way Dancing with the Stars can survive is if Tom Bergeron is brought back as host. Any hot opinions on that?
I'll go
no
first.
Hands. Okay, Keith.
I'll go first.
Entertain me, please.
So first of all, I've never watched Dancing with the Stars. I don't care about it. But I like talking about celebrity gossip or whatever. So Dancing with the Stars was moved from Disney to Disney Plus, which makes no sense, right? Because who watches Dancing with the Stars? Probably like everyone's grandma, if anybody watches it. Like, why? There's no way anyone's grandma has
Edmo watches it.
And Disney Plus is probably like the youngest skewing streaming service, right? Because it's Disney, a lot of Disney shows. Like, my kids, if you could only get them one, well, I don't know, but we could talk about that later. But
they don't talk about Bruno, though.
They don't talk about Bruno. I think.
Give yourself a point.
Has the host ever won on Around the Horn? That's a good question.
New tradition. On Around the Coal Horn, I always
win. The host always wins. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think. I think, Tom, we've had enough of old white guys. I think the new host should be a baby. I think that would be fun. Like, hey, you see Dancing with the Stars. The host's a baby. They're like, maybe, or how about this? I'm changing my opinion. It should be a puppy. Like, everyone loves puppies. Now you come out, there's a puppy. Maybe there's like someone else helping them, but the puppy's the host. Who I would turn in for the first episode if I heard a puppy was hosting.
Close to getting on board, Jason. I saw your hand.
Yeah, I think. Tom Bergeron should not be the host again. You know, Tom Bergeron's nice, but he's kind of vanilla. I think moving it to Disney Plus gives you a great opportunity to have a like rotating like guest. You can have guests from a host from different Disney like properties. Like, it owns Fox now, so you can like have Homer Simpson guest 1 week. You could have like a CG like or Mickey Mouse host 1 week. I think you can really innovate and have great hosts every week.
And since that's possible and what Keith suggested wasn't possible, I'll give you a point, Jason. Cool. I don't know whose hand I saw first. I'll do Amanda because feminism.
Yes. And you can even give me a point for feminism, too. I think that's in play.
Point for Amanda.
But so I don't have super strong feelings about Tom Bergeron, but I'm just going to say I don't think that the host of these shows matters that much. The judge panel matters. People want the judges to be good. The cast matters. Like, I've watched Dancing in the Stars of the past if I'm interested in one of the celebrities, and then I'll watch it. And like I feel like the host doesn't really bring a lot to these kinds of shows. I feel like it's much more of the judges that are carrying that aspect of it. So I really don't think it matters, but I agree. Like, there's enough of these like crusty old white guys around. Give somebody else a chance. Do something a little different.
Okay, I'll give it to Rob before I tell you guys how I really feel.
Yeah. So I have actually gone through a couple of different evolutions of what I've been thinking, and listening to the panel has really informed me, and I've taken a lot from what everybody has had to say. One, I think Akiva is right that there's a lot of grandmas that are watching Dancing with the Stars. But are they already subscribed to Disney Plus? Probably not. What are you trying to do? Grow the platform. We need the grandmas. Now they're subscribed. They want to see Dancing with the Stars. Okay. All right. And Jason says, well, maybe we should have new people on every week. But honestly, that's what you're getting from having the people on the show. Amanda says she watches it only when there's people on there she cares about. So cast the dancers for the people that you care about. But these grandmas probably bring back the old host. So keep them happy. Keep new people tuning in by finding good people. Yes, Tom Bergeron should be the host. Bring him back. You'll get the grandmas. They're subscribed to Disney Plus. Everybody wins.
Ring that bell. I completely agree. That is marketing 101, Rob. You should be teaching a master class in how to save Dancing with the Stars.
But I do think we can all agree that Tyra should not be the host of the show anymore.
That was why I didn't give Amanda a point. She said the host doesn't matter. And people were like at Tyra's house with pitchforks. Mm-hmm. So, so that's why I couldn't give her a point. And since Keeve inspired Rob's answer, I'll give Keeve a point as well. So I think Rob should have 6. He should have 4, Amanda should have 6, and Jason should have 5 at the end of this very inquisitive round. And like I said, I agree with Rob. Bring back the classics. I love Tom. Tom's a classic.
He does Tom want to come eyes. Back?
I don't care what he wants. It's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, is he busy? I feel like we got Urkel doing America's Funniest Home Videos.
Hold on. That's Alfonso Ribeiro. Whoa, whoa,
whoa. That's Carlton. How dare you?
I'm not tuning in because there's no Tom.
Yeah. Tom has the longest run. I actually looked this up after Bob Saget sadly passed away. But yeah, that Tom Bergeron had almost like 20 years on AFV.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Oh my gosh. It's great that we're talking about retirement because our next question is all about retirement. When's it my turn? So the question is, if you publicly announce that you're retiring, you should remain retired for one full calendar year. How we feel? Rob, start us off.
I feel very strongly about this. Too much willy-nilly. I'm retired. I mean, Tom Brady is the, forget Tom B, the other Tom B, okay? This Tom Brady, well, that, I mean, one of the worst people, as far as I'm concerned.
2 points.
He starts this whole thing of like, there's a whole kerfuffle. Is he retired? Is he not going to retire? His dad's like, he's not retiring. Yeah, then everybody has to, like, first off, we wasted the good surprise, okay? We ended up, like, having, like, the specials, and then all the people tweeting, like, oh, my God, number 12 is the greatest. And then, 2 weeks later, confirmed, all right, I am retiring. All right, he's gone. He's retiring. And then he unretired, like, a month later. What are we doing? And then next year, he's going to retire again? And then we got to do this again? You say you're retired. Everybody cries, okay? Oh, I can't believe it's over. You have to stay retired. That should be a law. You can't unretire.
Should be illegal. Can't argue with that.
One year. You can come back one day. We'll be excited. But you didn't go anywhere.
True. Jason, you want to rebut?
Listen, I'm a big fan of people flopping and, like, you know.
1 point.
People fail. So I'm all for you coming back as soon as you want to, just to fail again. People coming back from retirement has rarely gone well. You know what I mean? So I think I hope that Tom Brady comes back next year, and I hope that he fails miserably because he should have retired. So I'm all down for you coming back to, like, you know, after you left, because you should have left. I think we can all agree that mostly people that retire, yeah, you should have retired. But, you know, I want you to come back and fail. So I'm all for you coming back.
No, I agree with that. So I'll give Jason a point. And for inflation, I'll give Rob a point. anyone else want to jump in?
I'll jump in. Is Tom Brady ruining the fun for the rest of
us?
Yes. Yes, he's awful. Nobody likes him.
Michael J. Clark is crying.
Lots of people like him, but I know that he is a reviled figure to a lot of different sports markets. Like, should we let him ruin the fun of, you know, getting some attention by fake retiring and coming back? So, for example, when Josh Wigler retired from Survivor, I was thrilled that he came back within a year and started covering Survivor again. And we got the Wiggle Room.
I agree.
I don't want him to be shamed out of not being allowed to do that because Tom Brady is a drama queen. So I just think that, while this is clearly an abhorrent example and an abuse of retirement, maybe we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
To be fair, I don't know if Josh ever retired from, he retired from Survivor 39 for sure. I'd have to go back and check the transcript.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we have a stat boy in the background. He can help us. I'll close this out. I think if you do, first, I agree. If you retire, there should be a minimum waiting period. Also, you should have to give back all the kudos, all the presents, everything.
Yes.
If you give it back.
Give them a point. 1 point.
The people who make themselves the retirement parties, like the execrable Coach K who did it this year, announced the year early. So we knew every single game he went to, the other team would have to give him a plaque or give him some flowers that he would kill or, you know, or make a slideshow movie for him about, like, all the times his team beat the other team. It was pathetic. And all year he said, it's not about me, it's not about me. While anyone with half a brain knew the whole thing was just a celebration of himself. It was all about him. And while he has not unretired yet, all the people who've gone through these, you know, I retire and then I decide not to. It's ultimately making them themselves. And what happens is all the people celebrating them makes it them realize, oh, you know what? I'm so popular. I'm going to stay in it. Anyway, those people need to give back everything, every tweet. Oh, I'm so sorry you retired. And then you're unretired. You have to return that tweet somehow, even. Okay. And the clout, the followers that came with it, everything, all the clout. You have to give it back.
You know what? Can't argue with that either. I'll give you another point. Because you know what? I get a lot of attention when I deserve it. Like this week, attention deserved. That attention not deserved. It's a clear distinction. And you know what? I hate attention seekers that don't deserve it. So that's all I have to say about that. And also as a Jets fan, I feel like I was very liberal on points just out of like a personal opinion. So I had to be fair with that. Okay. Moving along. Is sauce food? Is it food? I don't know. You tell me. No thoughts. Oh, hands. We'll start with Amanda this time.
So sauce is edible. in that way, it True. Is like, it is a kind of edible substance, but it's a food itself. I would say it is not. It does not. Mm-hmm. It is that it is there are, like salt is edible. I wouldn't call that food. That's a seasoning. It's something that you put on a food to enhance the food as part of a meal to make it a complete dish. So I think that it is edible. It is can be prepared, but it is not in and of itself a food.
Okay. I can't, you know, I can't argue. Amanda, I'll give you a point. Rob, you had your hand up earlier.
Yes, I would like to say that I do not believe that sauce is a food. I would like to call in some expert testimony here from a man named Mike Turner.
Food and sauce.
Food and sauce, he said recently. How could it be the same thing? Wouldn't it be food and food? Has Mike Turner been wrong yet?
Case for Mike. I'll give it two points. Akiv, I saw your hand first.
So, yeah, I think it's clearly if somebody said, hey, like, what are you having for lunch, Nicole? And you're like, you know, some tomato sauce. That person would never ask you another question again. That would be it for your relationship with them. They would go and tell all, you know, the group chat that they're in without you. They would go tell them, it feels like eating tomato sauce for lunch. Mm-hmm. Even there are sauces that are exceptions to the rule. Like if you just had a pack of applesauce, I think that's fine.
Yep.
But in general, sauce is not food. It's just sauce. That, like there's almost no sauce that you can eat plain. Imagine if at work at the lunch, like at lunch, I was just like chowing down on some sauce. They'd get fired.
That would be weird.
They'd be concerned.
Would that be a soup then? Would it be a soup?
It would be a soup, but it would be the type of soup that doesn't really, it would make me look insane and I would get fired.
It would be sauce,
not food.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll give you a point for that. Jason, how do you feel?
Sauce is a enhancer. It is not a main dish. I would go with that. We just had a conversation not too long ago that almost no one here would need a bottle of mustard for even $10 million. And I've never seen anyone just eat like a bowl of ketchup. So like sauce is strictly an enhancer. It is not a meal, not a food.
Okay. Jason, I'll give you a point, but Rob, you can go in for the kill.
Yeah. So I'm under the impression that sauce is not a food. Sauce is a drink. It's a drink food.
No. I got to take a point away for that.
No. Yeah. It's food and drink. It's a drink.
Pour some sauce over ice and
no, if you said gazpacho, that would be a different
closer
story.
To a drink than food.
You're on thin ice, Rob.
You don't eat a drink.
I was not expecting
sauce.
That's a condiment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I was not expecting the conversation to regress, but here we are. And I don't think sauce is a food, but I think if it's a drink, that's really, we're really pushing pee with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not great. But you know what? I forgot we haven't checked in with the score in a while. We have Robin the lead with 10 points.
Wow.
He had 11, but you know what? He couldn't help himself. We have Jason with the 8, Amanda with the 8, and Keeve rounding out with the 7. But you know what? It's anybody's game because we're talking about the real topics here. And I have opinions as well. So I'm going to be feeling, who knows, more liberal, less liberal. All comes down to what comes out of your little mouse. Little mouse. Oh, my God. What am I saying?
So we're going to start as men and then become boys. And then we have little mouths.
Anatomy class with Nicole. It's going great.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, next question. Wheel jamming, is it ethical? Akeev, start off. It is your podcast.
Wheel jamming. All right, so first of all's fair in love and renap. We're allowed to wheel jam. For people who don't know, wheel jamming is the process where if we want to do an episode 1 week of something that maybe is time sensitive or we're in the mood for, we could just give it 100 spots and it generally comes up on the wheel. And it's only failed once or twice. It is obviously ethical, and it is fair practice, because why are we supposed to punish ourselves? If there's something that's practical that people would like, who does it serve if we don't do it that week? Like the Renap gods? Like, I don't understand. So everyone wants us to do it. If something has 100% approval rating, you could do it. And I also don't believe that the Constitution is real. It's a fake document.
Oh.
I'm talking about the U.S. Constitution and the Renap one right now, by the way.
Ooh, I can't give you any points for that. Don't disrespect Jason Curtis Rivera. Amanda, go ahead.
Okay, so Akiva made some great points there. He said that you know, it's their right. It's you're the host. It's your, you know, you can run your podcast however you want. You know, sometimes there's a pragmatic reason that you want to do it because there's a timely topic or because of a guest availability. So there's justifications. Are they ethical justifications? I think not. I believe that the very premise, the at the core of Robin Akiva Needs a Podcast is there's a wheel of ideas and you spin the wheel and whatever comes up, that is the topic that you are going to give a podcast about. And that is the beauty of it. I think that that is the core moral principle on which Renap stands. And, you know, it's up to you if you choose to run your podcast in an unethical manner. Of course, that's your prerogative to do so. But I think that you do have to recognize that wheel jamming is an attempt to subvert the intent of the wheel. And as such, is an unethical practice. And that is what I believe.
Amanda, you're giving prosecutor. So I have to give you a point. Rob, you know what? There was some slamming against you. So please feel free.
Well, I agree with the spirit of what Amanda had to say. Nobody wants to wheel jam. We don't wheel jam because we want to. We wheel jam because we have to. And often it's based on the guest availability. Look, I'm here every day. I'm ready to record. Akiva used to be incredibly available. Now, not as much, but it's often, if we have to wheel jam, it's always due to guest availability. Okay, this guest is only available on this specific day. This is when we need to do it. And it has to do more with getting people on the podcast, not so much with that me and Akiva want to do a certain thing on a certain day. Don't blame
us. Your life
us.
Deserves to be
Look
easy.
Look in the
you
mirror.
Know?
Blame yourself. Blame the guests.
Yeah, 1 point for Rob's convenience. Amanda, you can respond quick, and then we're going to jump to Jason.
I mean, again, Rob had a great argument, but it had nothing to do with ethics. Because something's more convenient doesn't make it ethical. It would be more convenient if I just locked my kids in a room and didn't let them out all day. But is that ethical? No. So the convenience argument is a separate issue. Mm-hmm. I think if we're talking about ethics, I really think that I'm on the right side here.
I'll give you a point for semantics. Jason, close us out.
I do think it's ethical because you're still giving the other ideas a chance. You're not totally taking them off the wheel. They can still come up, but you're just putting a little more into the favor of the wheel jam idea. We can talk, wheel ideas are different than, like, you know, racial injustice. We'll tackle that issue another time. Maybe this is very.
Is that coming up? Is that coming up?
We're Napa 173.
But listen, and there's also, like, there's a reason for the season. Do I want to listen to, like, a Christmas, like, movie recap in, like, July? Not necessarily. I'm sure the guys make it fun, but it'll be better in Christmas. So I think that it is ethical. I think that it is needed.
Okay, Jason, I'll give you a point for that. And since we're dogging on Keev, I'll give him a point. Like, I'm giving out stars in Mario Party, so. I guess that brings us to the end of that round. We have two more topics going into the final two topics. We have Rob at 11, Amanda at 10, Jason at 9, and Keev at 8. Anybody's game. But we got a close one, or as Steve Harvey would say, a hot one today. The next topic, fighting is an important part of a podcast. Agree or disagree? Who wants to tackle it? Keith?
Anytime I have a podcast with fighting, there are ways you can go over the top and make people uncomfortable for sure. But I think in general, people enjoy some lighthearted or even medium-hearted fighting on a podcast. I think Rob will say, like, hey, you and Chester haven't fought in a while. Like, oh, I like it best when you fight. Fighting is an important part of every podcast. The tension, but if you have a host, with most podcasts, I'd say the plurality, at least, of podcasts are hosted by two people. Having some natural tension between them is good. And I think it's exciting to see, like, how they grow, whether they like each other more or less. Fighting is inherently good on any podcast.
Okay. Give you a point. Jason?
Yeah. I mean, look what podcasts we're on. We just had a fight about bracket season not too long ago, and it sparked immense debate among the fandom. I think you need fighting. I don't think you can have two hosts on a podcast that agree all the time, because it wouldn't be any fun. And when the hosts don't agree, they need to fight it out. I think fighting is important and is entertaining, to hear on a podcast.
No lies were spoken. I'll give you a point. Amanda?
So I enjoy listening to podcasts where there's some fun banter and disagreement. Fighting can be fun, but is it essential to all podcasts? Is it what a podcast needs to be good? Nicole, I know that you host a podcast with two exceedingly lovely co-hosts, and
that's true.
It's a very, very enjoyable podcast without a lot of fighting that happens.
Oh, you must not listen.
Okay. I think that there's a lot of podcasts where the hosts don't have a contentious relationship and they can still be a great hosting duo or a hosting panel. So I think that, maybe Akiva's experiences of podcasting might say as much about him as a co-host as they do about the medium as a whole. But I think that pod fighting can be enjoyable on podcasts, but it is not necessary to make a podcast great.
And flattery gets you everywhere. So I'll give you a point, Rob.
You don't need fighting on a podcast. Just because that you could listen to a podcast and there is fighting, and that is going to make you be a little bit more interested or engaged, that does not necessarily mean that is an essential part of all of the podcasts. That I feel like, if anything, we could look to our own culture, and just because that there are people that are trying to make you more upset or angry and fight with other people, and then you naturally are engaged in what they're saying. I do not think that has been a good thing for our world, and I do not think that it is a good thing for podcasting. And so I think that while, sure, an interesting debate is certainly fun, a fight is definitely not a mandatory part of all podcasting, and I think should probably try to be avoided whenever possible.
I like that. I mean, we need more peace and love in this world. So, Rob, I'll reward you for that. Give him a point.
I have been on podcasts where there's been fighting, and I've been on podcasts where there is not. And I've more enjoyed the times when there was not.
Yeah, like, I'm afraid of confrontation in real life. Like, you'd think I love the housewives, that I'd be out here talking my opinion. I hate fighting. Like, I would rather be chilling on the beach somewhere. Like, I don't need to be fighting. And I think that part of the question, important part of a podcast, it's not essential, but I appreciate Jason's and Keith's arguments. That's why I gave them some points. But that's my opinion for all the inquiring minds. This is the last question in the main round. We have Rob in the lead with 12, Amanda with 11, Jason with 10, and Keith with 9. But you know what? Maybe we have strong opinions about this last one.
I heard points double in the last round. Is that true?
I mean, I don't know what they don't want to.
Whatever Nicole feels like.
That's right. You know what? I'm feeling crazy. We'll double the points.
Whoa.
Okay.
And the last question, movie theaters should be eradicated. Yes or no? Jason, start us off.
Listen, if you've been to an AMC theater lately, before you start your movie, Nicole Kidman tells you exactly why movie theaters are important.
2 points for that reference.
The big spectacles, they're a big experience. Now, can movie theaters be made better? Sure. But there's nothing like going to a movie theater on a big movie, you know, like a, you know, a big Avengers movie and being in the audience with everyone else as they're screaming and as they're, everyone is reacting along with you to the important moments. So I do think that movie theaters are important and they should not die.
Okay, I'll give you another point for that. That was wholesome. Rob?
I don't think that we need to eradicate the movie theater, but the movie theaters are too damn big. Do you need all those screens? You need like one big screen for whatever the Marvel movie is, and everything else you can watch at home. To then find some other, like, I don't know, like, let's come create some low income housing or something. Let's do something. Listen, that these theaters, there's nobody in there.
This guy's just trying to get into the finals.
There's nobody in these movie theaters. Like, do we need to have like a 300 seat room for two people to watch Marry Me at 11:20 on a Tuesday? Nobody's in them. You have one big theater. Yeah. Everyone's watching the same movie.
2 points. Yeah, 2 points for that. 2 points and then another point. So give them 3 points, which would be 6 points. I'm at the Jordan Kalish School of Arithmetic right now. Amanda?
So movie theaters should not be eradicated, but I do agree that, you know, movie theaters are not as going to be as essential as they once were. We don't need as many of them. We don't need. I think that we don't want to necessarily make the screens smaller because that's the whole appeal of the experience. But for like, you know, now things are being released direct to streaming and it's not going to go back. People are not going to tolerate that now that they can get things in their own house. So people are not going to go to the movies to see every new release anymore. I think those days are done. But I still think that people are going to want to get out of the house and see some films in the theaters. So we do need movie theaters. We don't need as many of them. But I think if you're going to see a movie, then make a screen as big as possible. It has to be different from your experience at home.
No, that's absolutely true. Like, if I'm going to leave the house, give me a reason. I'll give you 3 points for that. I think that was great. Steve, you had time to shake it up.
Yeah, I think, listen, movie theaters should not be eradicated. I think it's very fun to take your kids to a movie in person. They love getting drinks and popcorn. And even though my kids know that they have the access to the entire history of all entertainment at their fingertips, unthinkable to you know, me 25 years ago when I was their age. It to me, it's still more fun for them to go to the movies. If I said, hey, would you rather stay home and watch a movie or go to the movie theater? Every single one of my kids, everyone would rather go, even though maybe it's obscenely expensive sometimes nowadays. And it's not as enjoyable. And yes, you can watch it at home and pause whenever you want. To me, movie theaters are still fun. In fact, at this point, they've become underrated.
I think that was just as good of an argument as Amanda. And I gave Amanda 3 points. So I'll give Keith 3 points as well. Doubled, making it
very close.
A lovely 15. But it does seem that at the end of the regular round, we do have two individuals in the lead. We have Rob with 18 and Amanda with 17. Wow. So we'll be advancing to the finals.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Jason and Keith, you put your heart into it. I'm so sorry that we couldn't get you over the finish line for this one.
Hey, I didn't come in last, so that's enough.
Hey.
Oh, look at that. Take a dig at Keith.
Okay. Do they get a consolation prize? I don't have, I don't know if they would want pedicures, if I could transfer my pedicure from last year to these guys, but we're going to make sure they have something.
You could release Akiva from the obligation of getting you a pedicure.
No, I want to get her. I think we should get her one after this. The thing I like about Renap, Rob, is like, Nicole had no input into this episode happening. Someone pitched it in her name. We said yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe we asked her. I think you told me to ask her, which I wouldn't have even done probably.
Yeah.
But and then we came up. I said, by the way, you have to like come up with the topics, do all this. No complaints. So
you know. Let the record show. I love Tommy Guam. That man is a ride or die. We love him.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we appreciate Nicole. So we'll get her a pedicure. That's not a problem. And congratulations to Rob and Amanda for making the championship round.
Okay. I love the sound.
Thank you.
All right. So how does the final round work, Nicole?
So we have two topics. I guess we could give you guys each maybe the first one we can do 30 seconds. The second one, maybe a minute of time to discuss it. And we can just go back and forth. So Okay. Maybe do we want a first person goes first in the first round and the second person goes first in the second round?
Yeah, seems fair, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So we are going to start with the first topic, which will be 30 seconds. And the question is, would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time, get your ass whipped, and then never get bit? Or do you like the relationship you currently have with mosquitoes? Who would like to start? Rob, 30 seconds on the clock starts now.
Look, if you had the opportunity to get your ass beat by one giant mosquito one time, you should take it. That would be a gift. Okay. That is called, you know, short term or long-term thinking. Okay. That basically think of this is like a mosquito, like kind of akin to a vaccine. Okay. All right. One time I'm going to get it. I'm not going to feel so great. Now I never have to worry about this anymore. I'm safe from the dangers of mosquitoes. Do you know about the Zika? Okay. This is an ongoing problem here for a lot of people.
That's time.
So, it's my turn now.
Get started.
Just get in it. Rob made some great points about, you know, weighing the long-term benefits against the immediate risks. I think that was a powerful argument, but I have to be true to, my prior work on RENAP when I pitched the size versus intelligence theory of animal grossness. And I just want everyone to sit and imagine a giant mosquito. Imagine, like, in your head, like what the eyes would look like, what antennae would look like. This would be a horrific, disgusting experience, and I don't even want to imagine what that would be.
That's time. But you know what? I appreciate someone who is a long-term thinker, so I'm going to give Rob 3 points and Amanda 2.
Okay.
So things are close. I don't know if the score resets. I don't know. There's no rules here. We're having fun.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's your show. This is around the Nicole Horn.
Period. That's how I love to hear it. So we're going to do the second question. Amanda, we're starting. We have a minute on the clock.
All right.
Family Feud style, I guess you can start when I'm done reading the question.
Okay.
Should picky eaters just grow up?
Yeah. Picky eaters should just grow up. Okay. Food is, there's lots of delicious foods out there. Just, you know, if something is strange to you, there's research that shows that you have to be exposed to an unfamiliar food at least 100 times before you're going to like it. So you just have to buck up and keep on eating the things that you don't like. And this is good for you. It'll be like, we just talked about the weighing short-term risks against long-term benefits. You're making an investment in your future health, whether you are a child, you know, listen to your parents, try different things, or you're a grown-up. If you're a grown-up, stop eating like a child and just order different foods and eat them. If there's a food that somebody in some part of the world is eating, it's not gross. It's a healthy, delicious food. The only reason that you don't like it is because you haven't had enough exposure to it and you haven't given it a chance to just buck up. Give it a chance. It's good for you.
Okay. Thank you, Amanda. Great points. Arguments made. Rob, how are you going to respond to that?
Look, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, okay? But for the picky eaters out there, I think there's really two camps. Okay. Look, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like it. No, nobody can should force you to eat foods that you don't like. What I have a problem with, and I think that where the picky eaters do need to grow up, is that the picky eaters who will not try the new thing. If you try it and you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. But if you are somebody who is saying that looking at things and will not try sight seen, I'm out. I think that that is where a picky eater does need to grow up. And I think that it's, you know, not great in kids, but in adults that will not even try the new thing. Yes. Yes. You need to grow up. Too picky.
And you know what? You can cede your time to the board because you still got 7 seconds. So great job, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So that brings us to the end of the round. And shockingly, probably to neither of you, I agree. I do think picky eaters should grow up. So this makes the final choice so much harder.
Can and Jason I say that as weigh someone, in? Can Jason weigh in for the picky eaters?
Pro picky eaters here.
Listen, let me talk on behalf of the picky eater lobby here. We like what we like. We're the easiest people to go to dinner with. Okay. There's always going to be something that we like. Maybe it might be on the kids menu, but it's going to be there. Okay. We like chicken fingers. We like simple stuff. We are the easiest people to get along with. So get off our picky eater back. Okay. We like what we like. Leave us alone. We're not hurting you.
I guess that's fair. And I like chicken fingers, so let's give Jason a point. Postmortem. In this round, I really appreciate both of you approaching this situation like we're debating like the death penalty. Respect, respect. But I got to give this round to Rob as well. Rob, I got to give you 5 points. And Amanda, I'm going to give you 4, leading to a Rob victory in Around the Nicole Horn.
Okay. Wow.
Great job, Rob. Really impressive stuff.
Yeah, well, first off, Amanda, an incredibly worthy opponent to go heads up with here at the end.
Tip-top toes.
Yeah, tip-top toes. Incredible job to this panel.
Is this the highlight of your? I mean, I feel like you always win these games. This is an impressive win.
Are you saying that I stacked the do you feel like there were some of the topics you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I said like, hey, yeah, and also panelists. I was like, hey, what do you think about this person? He was like the champion of his debate team when he was running college. You're like, nah. Let's get some. Well, listen,
there was a note taped to my door this morning that said Rob must win. So that's all I know. Or else it was
kayfabe. Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm outside with like the wires, like trying to cut your wires if you didn't let Rob win.
Yeah.
Rob, do you want anything? Like, what do you want to win for this? It's a big day for you.
Yeah. You could give.
What about an extra hour of sleep tonight?
Yeah, like, what if we text sleep, your wife? Or if you want to give Robin Community Podcast 5 stars in Apple Podcasts,
I'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Or give you a year's worth of subscriptions of mustard bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goldens, please. Yeah.
Oh, well, a man with taste. Love to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's all I have. That was the game. Thanks, guys, for
great job, Nicole.
I appreciate it.
So we did Around the Nicole Horn. I mean, Akiva, is there somebody else in the RNAP world that we can jam into? Pardon the interruption.
Let's see. If there's someone named like Patrick, yeah, or something like Patrick, like
Jordan Parhar, the interruption.
Yeah, we could do that if you want to like bring out Jordan Parhar.
Gun to my head, I have no idea what pardon my interruption is.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Nicole, did you watch any Around the Horn preparing for this?
I did. I watched quite a few episodes. So I got a sense of the rhythm. So hopefully nobody judges me too harshly on how I threw the points out there. It seemed kind of just based on the host.
So every day for the last decade, by the way, Statboy said it was November 2002. Sam Moore telling us that's when it started. So it's 20th anniversary this year. The PTI is just two fellas debating a bunch of topics on a scroll list. So it's like the same exact show, except it's no points. It's just 4 people instead of 2, but it's more popular.
That's just the same exact show as this. Yeah.
Yeah.
All thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we still have a mailbag to do here today. I don't know who from the ATNH panel is sticking around for a mailbag.
I mean, my opinions don't just stop here, so I'll stay.
Okay.
I'll stick around.
All right, Jason's saying, Amanda, how about you?
I'll stick around. Yeah, I'll stick around.
All right. Oh, so we got a full house.
I mean, you're
house.
Not going out anywhere.
Yeah.
She's making a seder. I got matzo balls I got to boil.
That's fair. It is what, 3-something o'clock?
Yeah. If anybody needs to step away, they're welcome to. Okay. Let me ask then our host of Around the Nicole Horn, what mailbag song do you want to hear?
Oh my God, I'm partial to Peppa.
Well, no, that's we're gonna hear that. In a
that's
while.
What he's saying.
Yeah. You know what? The full version or the Phil T only, right?
So there's actually 3 options. There's the original Jack Fox, there's the remix Jack Fox with Phil T, or just Phil T.
We'll just do Phil T. You know, I love Phil T representation.
Okay. All right. So we're hearing just Phil T. When we come back, and Akiva's got the top 5 mailbag pitches of the week, when we come back on the mailbag for Robin Akiva Need a Podcast.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, hey, okay, it's Phil and Jack Fox. Rob and Kiwi got games like Jack Fox. It's Rob and Akiva need a
bing bang.
Rob and Akiva need a
bing bang.
So now it's me, Phil T. So pull up a chair and listen to Akiva talk about how he picked up a spare. Come to Rob and Akiva for barrels of banter. Not Lizzie McGuire, but I'm duffing a wanker. If you don't go and leave a 5-star review, you can catch these hands back to Timbuktu. Watching S3F7 on HBO. Yo, if you hate, then it's L plus ratio. They've gone and watched Seinfeld. They've yet to watch Scum. Talking to my two dads. Well, where's my mom? Where's my mom, dads? Dads, where's my mom?
All right. Thank you, Phil T. We're here in the mailbag of episode number 172, Around the Nicole Horn. The full panel is here. All right. Akiva, where should we pick things up?
Well, I am curious if any of our guest panelists or host panelists or whatever today have an idea for us, because we have four spots for ideas and we've got four. We only have three guests. But I will let them think for a minute, and I'm gonna give you our first idea.
Okay.
I'm excited about our first idea.
All right, Akiva is putting you on the clock, and he's got idea number one coming out of the mailbag.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
I haven't heard anybody say they like or dislike the numbers.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay. Yeah. They're like, those were the 5 for 5 numbers.
Yes.
Or what was it called?
No, so there was the friggin' 5.
OGs, remember.
Yeah. And then, but I'm not sure if these were the same exact ones or if Aaron Robertson remade the numbers for, like, made new numbers for the patron 5 for 5.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Love Aaron Robertson.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Uncle Kiwi, what do you got?
Okay. So we've been wondering what we could do for a 3X movie for quite some time. It comes up very frequently. And what we narrowed down a couple weeks ago was that it should be an action movie, not something with a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
So Tanner has a pitch that I think is interesting.
Okay.
It's called Rob and Akiva Are Expendable. Mm-hmm. Rob and Akiva, 3X, the three Expendable movies from the Expendable franchise, to get fired up for the fourth movie, which is supposedly coming out this year.
For real?
You could even have the guy who's a Sylvester Stallone stan, but has not seen Rocky as the guest.
Oh, there's plenty of those.
Dime a dozen.
Okay, I guess so we have a focus group here. Jason, does anybody care about the Expendables movies?
Not for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
I think you want a movie that doesn't have, like, you know, intense dialogue, but Expendables has barely any. Like, it's pretty much just like, if you watch it in 3X, you just see the flashing from, like, all the guns. Yeah. Like, that's all it would be.
All right. Can I come over the top with a different pitch?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
We need an action movie. Okay. We watched The Fast and the Furious. Okay. To get us ready. Should we be looking to go back and for more speed? Should we watch Cars 1, 2, 3? Imagine how fast Lightning McQueen could fly at 3X.
So kids movies at 3X. Is there a lot of dialogue in the Cars movies?
I think it gets pretty talky at times.
I mean, did Mater say anything of value in that movie?
Yeah, Mater at 3X would be like normal speed.
No, I'm obsessed with this. That's just my opinion, though.
Mm-hmm. The Cars, the worst Pixar movies, basically, especially 2 and 3.
Not Cars 1.
Part 1 is a classic.
Yeah, but 2 and 3 are probably the worst Pixar movies,
right? Is Larry the Cable Guy still out there?
I mean, he's definitely out there somewhere.
Is he canceled?
I don't know. And probably. He's canceled. But
I don't think Larry the Cable Guy could get canceled. Like, who's going to cancel him? His fans?
Is he Larry the Fiber Guy now?
Is he Larry the what?
Fiber Guy.
Oh, yeah, that is weird. Like, the Cable Guy is kind of like...
Like Larry the Streaming Guy.
Yeah, the youths don't really know.
Mm-hmm. I guess, is it streaming if it's cable?
It's a good question. Is it streaming if it's cable? Yeah, I think that's a funny idea. We did have another pitch. I'll give it to you now. It won't count as number two. Similar idea. I do like the Cars pitch. What's the name, by the way? Do you have a name for the Cars pitch, Rob?
Let's see. Life is a Highway.
And we could just call it, what was Fast and the Furious? What do we call that?
Three Fast, Three Furious.
Three Fast, Three Furious.
Did Cars 3 have a
I don't think it had a tagline. I don't think it had a tagline.
Okay.
Well, didn't he say like ka-chow or something? Could be like ka-chow times 3 or something.
Mm.
I love that.
Hmm. Yeah.
We could just call it Cars 3X or something. Anyway, we did have a submission. I know this came up early in the Renap run. What about 3Xing the Shrek movies or starting a rewatch of the Shrek movies? They were basically like maybe once a year. It could become a new Renap tradition where we invite Shut Up Tim on. We watch Shrek 1. Maybe a year later, we do Shrek 2. Rob and Akiva get Shreked, basically, which has been pitched a bunch of times. Would you want to get Shreked?
Is it too beloved for Shut Up Tim?
I don't think so. I think it's funny to have something on that's like someone maybe really likes it, but I don't think the listeners, they like it. And we're not going to be trashing. We're not going to be trashing the Shrek movies. They're very fun.
Okay.
You know,
I think also, you can talk about something that's too beloved if you have like literally the world's biggest fan of that thing.
I would say much like Around the Nicole Horn, why don't we see if Tim is up for this?
Okay, if Tim is up, then next week I'd be happy to put Robin Akiva Shreked on the wheel, and it could even, yeah.
In the same way that, so we do certain things at certain times of year. What is the Shrekiest time of year?
That's a good question. I'm going to ask Tim. I will message Tim. Mm-hmm. I'll say, are you interested? And what is the Shrekiest time of year?
I just had a relevant Twitter exchange with Tim about this. Somebody said that her husband calls Shrek Summertime Grinch, and I asked him if that was acceptable, and he said that it was unacceptable, and he had something else to say about it. But
Well, when else are swamps swampier than in the summertime?
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
I see. No,
the swampiest time of year. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Cars 3. Do you want to put it on the wheel? Is there anything we have to?
Let's just check in with the focus group.
What
do you think of Cars 3X?
I'm obsessed with it. I think it's genius.
Okay,
but that's just me though.
Amanda,
I'm a little lukewarm on this one. Like, I feel like it won't. I feel like it won't take you on the journey that Fast and Furious did. Like, I feel like you got so emotionally invested in trying to figure out what was going on in that whole series, and the 3X really added like a big challenge. Like, I don't know what the speed is bringing to this kids movie. Like, is it going to be different enough than if you just watched and discussed Cars?
I do think it's important that the idea is that with the 3X, that what we need to not lose is that, okay, that the Fast and the Furious was fast and we made it faster.
Yeah.
So we need to incorporate you think that was fast? Wait till you watch it on 3X. It's going to be a game changer. And so for Shrek at 3X, there's nothing about that is speed. Top Gun but I think there's only one Top Gun and then they're making a new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm biting at the bit for Top Gun rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely going to tune in this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
I think the great thing about the Fast and Furious franchise is that you guys, tracked it from 1 to, 8 at the time. And the best thing about it is to see it at its humble beginnings and then track the ridiculousness of the franchise. And if you could find something like that, that started out, like normal and then just got outrageous, that would be what you're looking for. I'm not sure if that's Cars or not.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Madagascar? And I mean, there's a lot of drama because Jada and Chris were both at Madagascar.
Oh,
and there's like 10 of those movies.
Oh, by the way, so I'm on the Larry the Cable Guy website. I mean, he hasn't announced it if he is. No apologies or anything like that. On November 12th, Larry the Cable Guy posted, best friends are back again. Owen Wilson and I will return to voice Lightning McQueen and Mater in the Disney Plus original series Cars on the Road, streaming in 2022. Maybe this could be like perfect timing for Cars 3X.
Mm. Also like a fun movie to watch with our kids. Like that's, you know, Renat prep that you could certainly do with the boys.
My kids were super bored. I could not get them to sit through any of the Cars movies.
Well, maybe if you 3X, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's improving it. That's what they need.
Ask somebody to watch a 3X movie with you. So I take that back. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And I've never seen these movies at 1X. You have?
I've seen at least the first one. Yeah.
Well, that is a slight problem because last time we sort of went in blind. Maybe I would watch one, you'll watch two, and then we'll split three or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it is better when we don't know what's going on and trying to figure it out at 3X.
Sure. Sure. Okay.
Do you want to put it on the wheel? Do you want to get fan reaction?
I want to get some reaction to it.
Okay,
fine.
I don't
like to work in a vacuum.
Okay, fine. That would be insane if we worked in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like should that be like a plot of a Pixar movie? Like a lot of things in the vacuum?
Podcast in a vacuum. All right,
so, does the vacuum have feelings?
Okay, so all right. So that I see some TikTok videos and they say that basically this is like the Pixar movie blueprint. And this is... So, okay. So every day in the vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And that they establish what life is like in the vacuum. Okay. Mm-hmm. In the vacuum. And the dust.
Who's our lead, Rob? Who's the lead in the vacuum? Is it like a Dustin ball of
Hoffman.
Dust?
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman, but it's like
dusty,
dust.
Dusty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he's a speck of dust.
Is the lead.
In the vacuum. Uh-huh. And every day in the vacuum. And then they turn.
Are there toys in there, Rob, that like accidentally got vacuumed up?
There's a Lego, piece in there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
There's like some cereal. Hair.
Yeah, you got pet hair that takes on a life of its own. Like
maybe some gross stuff that nobody wants to hang out with, but at the end of the movie, they learn, like, oh, he's really not so bad.
Okay. Hold on. Now, are we in the vacuum bag, or are like the characters, like there's a Roomba, there's an upright, there's a Dustbuster, there's like, are we in like the vacuum repair shop?
Oh, you're in the vacuum bag, and you're going to, all our beloved characters are going to be replaced by a Roomba.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes. So the Toy Story, like toys universe. Are fire.
Yeah. Okay. They just got a Roomba, and now our upright vacuum is in the closet, and we're now going to destroy the Roomba.
We have to destroy the Roomba, or else we are going to sit in a closet for a couple of years and then get put in the garage and then ultimately toss in the garbage.
Yeah. Okay.
We must destroy the Roomba.
Yeah. All right. So, so every day there was the vacuum. Everybody was happy. Then, until one day that they were getting a Roomba, and then it changed everything.
Yeah.
And then
Roomba was really arrogant, right, Rob? Also.
Yeah. Not friendly.
Oh, the Roomba is a jerk. Yeah.
The Chad Roomba.
But is the the vacuums are also speak? Not it's right. It's not just the things in the vacuum.
I don't think that the vacuum speaks. I think the things in the vacuum are speaking.
So then how is the Roomba a jerk?
Not the logical fallacy.
It's
Pixar movies.
Talk. Yeah.
Yeah, everything has feelings.
I wonder if maybe the vacuum, maybe it's not so much we're in the vacuum bag. I think that our main character is the upright vacuum. Okay. And then he's friends with the broom. Oh, he's friends with the dustbuster. Yeah. He's friends with the mop. He's friends with all the other cleaning. Yeah, the room is
all of them obsolete.
Right.
And the vacuum is played by Pete Davidson.
The vacuum,
bold choice.
Yeah.
It's voice acting.
So maybe
he's tall and skinny.
Yeah, Pete Davidson, or maybe Pete Davidson is like the vacuum, like with the hose that like you use to like get like inside like the cushions of the couch.
Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pete Davidson plays one of the attachments.
Mm-hmm. And he has BVE, the big vacuum energy.
Oh man.
I think this is good. This is basically it's in the closet. It's all the things are talking to each other, but they're getting the Roomba is coming. It's going to replace them all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't let Steven Spielberg hear this conversation.
Does he run Pixar?
Well, he's going to steal it.
Okay.
I'm sure he's a regular listener.
I think Pixar would greenlight this today. I almost think we should take this out of the podcast and do it. It is a great idea. Are we still on idea number one? I think we are, right?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay.
And I feel like can get Shrek at another time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we started Expendable, but then we moved towards Cars and Trek. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Number two. Zach. Yeah.
Number two.
Zach with a K. This is called popularity contest. And he says he got this idea because he remembered a video from the beginning of quarantine, according to Amanda, still going on, where several ESPN hosts were trying to get the most famous person to join the Zoom.
Yeah.
He thought a spin on this might be interesting, something Robin and Akiva are competing to get the most people to join the Zoom.
I feel like this is an idea you've already pitched.
No, this is, you can't reveal it's a competition. I'm not exactly sure what it would be, but basically we're trying to get people added to the call. No, I've pitched.
Is this not similar to who's the most famous person you guys get on the show?
It's not most famous. This is like
the highest number of people we can have
without saying like, hey, please join my Zoom.
So we're just trying to like be like the Pied Piper and just get everybody on a Zoom.
I'm not super familiar with the Pied Piper. I thought he was like friendly or something, but I guess we're trying to be the Pied Piper.
Mm-hmm. So okay. So it's Rob and Akiva you're in a Zoom and the podcast starts and then you're each like,
I'm going to put out a tweet and says,
come
be in my Zoom.
Is that how, and that's how it works. And then you're talking through it and that's the podcast.
Sounds super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe it doesn't work. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So maybe, all right. Number two is a dud. Do we have any ideas from the panelists?
I don't know if this is too similar to what we did like 100 episodes with Kirsten with the dating apps, but was that like straight up a dating app makeover? Because I think it could be fun to hear you guys punch up people's existing dating profiles. I mean, the photos might have to translate into a video podcast, but Hinge has very stupid prompts. I mean, I wouldn't know, but I think that we could get some interesting content trying to punch up those weird. I mean, we get a lot of, that's where the debate of the super sandwich came from. But that might be on the nose from what we did last time. But I liked it. We got Holly.
Yeah.
That was an iconic episode.
Yeah, that was
great.
That was iconic. What did you get this, Rob? I love the idea of hearing the Hinge prompts. Like, I wonder if like maybe could we sort of like get sort of like Tales from the Hinge or something like that. Like, what are some of like the most interesting or unusual like Hinge prompts, like dating app bios that people have seen out there in the wilderness?
Or pairing that with like Rob and Akiva create the perfect Hinge profile. Like like not necessarily punching up somebody's, but taking these prompts and like, what's the best answer to this? Maybe you could have a panel judge whether your answers are good.
Hmm. If you're dateable.
I think then you would have to make the profile actually a profile and put it on the services and see what you get.
Catfish people, Jason.
We're not actually catfishing. Oh. We'll just see how many.
Amanda, it's science. You know science.
Yeah. I'm from there.
We'll just see how successful it would be.
Yeah, but are we lying or are we giving our honest answers?
I thought you were like making up a whole person, like, you know, making up a whole profile.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that is probably bordering on like, I think that somebody could read it the wrong way of that we're kind of bad people making up a fake dating profile to see who we can lure in.
I mean, who cares?
But I do like the idea of hearing the different prompts, Akiva.
Yeah, I like that. To me, this really depends on if we got like 2-3 interesting people to agree to like take us through their, you know, share their screen maybe on Hinge or whatever.
But then I think that's too personal. Like, I feel like that we could just like get here are the prompts that people are using on Hinge and here are some wild things that people are, you know, posting. And then,
but it's just like who's the guest?
Probably Kirsten McInnes.
Or Kirsten McInnes.
It's not, it's, yeah. It, well, it, I think it has to be, I think it has to be like, I do think it ultimately should be us helping a single person.
who needs our help? What single person is like, oh, I wish.
I think that is literally the bit.
I think we have like long wanted to do this. There's nobody who's desperate enough that would need Robin Akiva to help punch up their Tinder bio.
Can we?
We can get somebody, Jason?
I do. I think there'll be people that'll be willing to do it.
I think people ask. Let's table this for next week. Amanda will make a note.
If you say, I'll try anything. Robin Akiva, punch up my profile.
Punch up my profile. Yeah, so I will.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, we'll table this. I think we'll find people, Rob.
I think for anything else, you have people that want to do it just for fun. Like, I don't think anyone's like legitimately coming to you to save like
their. No, I want someone who's like on their last hope. Like, this is all I have left. Mm-hmm. I can't get a freaking swipe or whatever.
I feel like that this was like a sort of the idea behind like a bunch of other podcast episodes, that were like the Rapturette, Swipe Right.
Those were all fun.
I want to say that when the episode that we listened to on the Renap recap, I feel like that Phil T was pitching this. Like, I feel like that we have always wanted to do this and it's never happened.
All right. Let's see if someone says yes. And if not, we can sort of move it around. Sam Moore has an idea. Can we get to number four?
Say that he has a profile that he wants.
I don't know. I think he knows us too well to care about our opinion.
Okay.
I don't think he doesn't think he has an idea.
Also, it's an HR violation for us to do that.
Yes. Okay. So, where are you getting that Sam has an idea?
No, he posted an idea just now in the chat.
And, well, I think he was pitching Transformers for the three.
I think that's a good idea. Someone else pitched that this week. I don't see it. Someone said, what about Transformers instead of the Expendables?
Do you care about Transformers?
No, but I didn't care about Fast and the Furious. But now, you know.
I kind of want to know the lore of the Fast and the Furious. I don't really care about the lore of the Transformers. Jason, are you a Transformers guy?
I mean, I've seen most of the movies. I don't think I've seen the last one because it just, you know, it got ridiculous. I think you can barely figure out what's going on in like the Transformers fights at normal speed. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine like the 3X speed? Like, you have no idea what's going on.
I'm intrigued.
Can I read the pitch? Specific.
Okay, read the pitch.
It's from the prolific Spencer Y. The prolific Spencer Y.
Okay.
He's so prolific, but I don't think it mailbag questions because I've never seen it before. And it's called Robin Akiva Transform the Cinema, but the four is the number four. And he says there's only one definitive answer for the next blockbuster action franchise to watch: Rapid Speed, live action Transformers film series starring Shia LaBeouf, Mark Wahlberg, currently Haley Steinfeld. Fun, full of cheesy dialogue, nonsensical plots, and large scale action set pieces of fighting CGI robots. The movies are overly long. They're 2.5 hours, but that's not a problem because you guys are zipping through them. Here's his pitch. Each film starts at 1x speed and what he had written, but you start at 1x and maybe after like a half hour you go to 2x, 3x. What if like the first movie is 1x and the second one's 2x, the third one's 3x? I don't know. But anyway, maybe we scrap that part of it. But anyway, that's his pitch for Robin Akiva Transform the Cinema.
I'm intrigued. Like, I would like to know if people would be interested in hearing that. Is there another Transformers movie coming in 2022? Is there a reason that we need to?
Active. I do think it's still active.
Yes. Okay. Can we find that out?
Yeah, we could find. As, we got as, that point here,
you know, because Lauren would ask us, "Why now?
Why now?
Yeah,
because it's there, Lauren. Yes, there is a seventh movie coming. It is coming out next year, not this year, but there's a seventh movie coming out.
Okay, all right. Are we ready for number three?
That was number. I thought that was like number four already.
Okay, you want to say that that was number five?
That was number three. I think that was number three.
Yeah, Nicole pitched the...
Yeah, I didn't know that Nicole's pitch was number three. Okay, I thought that was a non-canonical pitch. Yeah,
let's go to number three. Fine, that was not
an honor to be included.
Number three.
Well, wasn't the Transformers one number three? Because that's from the last few weeks.
Number four.
All right, I'll give you a 3B. Can I give you a quick 3B? Sure.
You had another one and you told him to skip to four?
It's called, this is from Nicole B, and it's called Oops All Feeds. Robin Akiva, talk about that week's BuzzFeed article.
But is BuzzFeed still going?
I don't think so. That's why it's 3B.
They're trying to, are they going public? Like, I feel like that BuzzFeed has, you know... I feel like there's sort of
it's not 2014 days anymore.
So. I know.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why 3B.
Let me see. What are they talking about on BuzzFeed? Steph Curry showed off his acting chops in a spot for Jordan Peele's Nope. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here are the top five stories on BuzzFeed right now.
Yep.
Okay. 22 facts I learned this week that pretty much shattered my entire worldview. That's number one.
Well, okay. I would love to know
one of those facts. Okay.
Nobody's going past the article without at least clicking on the first one. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Shattered his whole worldview or her.
All right. Then, let me see. Number one is not super family friendly. Okay. Number two, while we all know Domino's is one of the biggest pizza chains around, it was slow going at start. Brothers Tom and James Monahan bought a pizzeria in Michigan with the hopes of turning into a larger chain. James decided he wasn't cut out for the pizza business and quit to become a mailman, giving his half of the company to his brother in exchange for a Volkswagen Beetle. 4 years later, Tom changed the name to Domino's and the chain found huge success.
Wow.
Oh, that was his whole worldview?
No, that didn't change my worldview.
That wasn't his city
shattering. The other guy.
I'll never be the same.
The house is shattering.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy that sold his shares will definitely never be the same.
Okay. No.
That's a good story. No,
number five, Robert Hansen, also known as the Butcher Baker, was a serial killer who used to kidnap women and set them loose in the Alaskan wilderness and then hunt them down to kill them.
That doesn't seem like shatter my whole worldview. I'm just depressed when I hear that.
All right. Oh, maybe this one might be tickle your fancy. Despite the name Philadelphia cream cheese, it was actually invented in New York. Why do they call it Philadelphia? At the time of the company's founding in 1880s, Philadelphia was known for their high quality dairy, Amanda. So the brand decided to include the city in its name as a clever marketing tactic.
Wow. So not only did that shatter my worldview, it attacked my whole identity as a native of where the Philadelphia cream cheese was invented.
They were catfishing.
That's what I tell people when I meet them to impress them.
Yes. Like, home of the cream cheese?
Okay. Lies and deception.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it seems like that. All right. So that was the number one. That's the most popular article on BuzzFeed. Number two was this is what Kourtney Kardashian texted Scott Disick after he DM'd her about her ex, about her and Travis Barker.
Easy to follow.
Yeah. Number three, Haley Steinfeld rejected Harry Jowsey's thirsty DMs in a very brutal way, and I'm living for it. You want to know that?
Same. I mean, if Harry Jowsey DM'd me, I'd be concerned.
Okay. All right. So I guess Harry Jowsey, I don't know the whole back.
I don't know who
forth.
That is. This isn't
who is this, Nicole?
He's one of the hot dummies on the island.
From the first Too Hot to Handle?
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. He cost them so much money.
I guess is this like part of a bit? He's just like sending DMs to crazy people?
I mean, Haley Steinfeld is like a very accomplished actress, like nominated for an Oscar at age 14 type stuff. I don't think he's in the same bracket as her.
Mm. Well, BuzzFeed is alive and well. That's clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I don't know that. Okay. It's very long, hard to follow. It's like she's talking about like Dax Shepard and like, I don't know. I would change her number after that. And then I guess the only other thing that might be of note here, 24 things that I, a dumb American, am fascinated to learn are apparently totally normal in Europe.
Steve, you can be the judge of that.
It seems like all these articles are very similar and like anyone can write them.
Should we write a pitch of BuzzFeed article?
I'm going to keep write a BuzzFeed article.
If we go into Nicole's like time machine where we go from men to boys and then babies back to 2015 when BuzzFeed was cool, I say yes.
Akiva, there's one. I don't think you're ready for how much Coachella has changed in 10 years and how many celebs were wearing flower crowns.
I think I'm very ready. I'm ready if you wanted to tell me that. Okay. I've never been more ready.
All right. So what was this article about BuzzFeed? Did we get buzzed?
I think Robin and Akiva get. Were we getting buzzed?
Was this 3D?
We're getting fed. Robin and Akiva get fed.
Okay.
Get fed to the buzz.
All right.
I don't know.
Number four
for real.
Oh, it was Oops All Feeds. It was Oops All Feeds.
Okay. We're out.
Okay. Does anybody else on the panel have one before I swipe in with the fourth thing?
Well, Well, I'm just going to say this because I've pitched this to Akiva privately a few times and mm-hmm. hasn't seen the light of day. So I'm just going to do the idea justice. So this was a crappy movie idea that, it wasn't mine. It came up, I forget on what, episode it was pitched Monkey Bone, the 2001 mm-hmm. comedy Brendan Fraser film with Brendan Fraser.
Somebody is Chris Kattan in that also?
Chris Kattan is in it. Whoopi Goldberg is in it. So it has a number of Renap Universe tie-ins. When it got pitched, Akiva or Rob said somebody watch this and just make sure that it's not, you know,
mm-hmm. Did you watch it? Reason.
Yes. I watched it and I live tweeted it, yes. My watching of it. And I mm-hmm. told Akiva I watched it. I think it would be good for the crappy movie diaper. And he didn't bring it up on the podcast.
Here's the thing. I think I said, here's my problem. I'm not like anti putting this movie on necessarily. Yeah. I don't think it has any, like what we were talking about before with like people caring about the IP helps. I don't think it has any level of familiarity to the listener. And so like, what is it? It's just a bad movie. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. some of the other bad movies on there are like more prominent.
What attracted you to this movie that made you want to watch it?
I watched it in 2001 and I really liked it when I watched it in the theater. And so I went to watch it. I mean, it's a bad movie. Like,
come on and be the guest if it was in the crappy movie diaper?
I would be honored to be the guest talking about this movie.
So, I mean, Akiva, you'd get the Dr. Amanda bump.
Well, I don't want to say no, but I'm just going to read you some of the things that have never come up in the crappy movie diaper. Some of them have been there for over 3 years at this point.
Okay.
Mac and Me, which I know is a personal favorite of yours. You'd like to watch it at some point.
I would be excited. I think there's been a lot of hype. It's been there for years.
Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Yeah. Okay.
Chairman of the Board. Howard the Duck. Speed 2 Cruise Control. Air Bud.
I think we could cut Chairman of the Board.
You want to cut it? All right, fine. We'll cut Chairman of the Board.
What's that? The Carrot Top movie?
Yes, the Carrot Top.
Excited for Carrot Top.
I'm not going to die on the hill of Monkey Bone. It's a bad movie. I mean, it has Chris Kattan sequence is incredible. Yeah. I'll just say.
Yeah, we already have Theodore Rex as the whoopee cushion.
Mm-hmm. It's got a whoopee cushion in it.
It has Chris Kattan, who was of Celebrity Big Brother.
John Turturro is the voice of the monkey, which I didn't realize until watching it the second time, who's a star of the hit television show Severance that has a great podcast on Post Show Recap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There's some connective tissue.
Yeah. So again, I just wanted to put it out there. I think it could be fun. If you feel really happy with what movies are already in the movie diaper.
I just think next week, Robin and Akiva watching Monkey Bone. I don't know if that's like people are, you know, rushing the streets excited about that. Mm-hmm.
But if you're watching it with Amanda, I'm rushing the street.
Oh, thank you, Nicole.
I say you put it in.
Just saying, I mean, you have the Amanda heat.
Keith is so unimpressed. Yeah.
Well, like, she could come on a different one. Like, you can talk about Air Bud or something. We're Scooby-Doo
is strictly anti-Monkey Bone. It's crazy.
Okay. All right.
Compared to some of the other movies you guys have talked about, like I think it's like pretty right up there with it.
I think that he might have to get you the hat at that point officially. Yeah. All right. You ready for number 5? That one's loud.
Number 5.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought we only do 4.
No. We have 5.
In what universe?
Yeah.
Well, I thought we did. I thought we were doing Mount Rushmore. Have we been doing 5?
We've done 5. Yes.
Okay, fine. Yes. I'm not like, all right. Listen, I ate a lot of matzah. The theater ended at 2:30 last night.
Oh, same.
What is the matzah? How does it affect you? It makes you sluggish?
Yeah, it's a lot. First of all, you don't eat the whole day really. Cause there's nothing you could eat. Cause you don't eat the chametz all day, but you're not allowed to have matzah. So there's nothing you could really eat. It's mm-hmm. the worst eating day of the year, other than the fast days.
You just drink a bottle of mustard in the morning. Yeah,
mustard you couldn't have. Mustard, you're not allowed to mustard. Mm-hmm. And then there's no food. Like the way the Seder works is like the food comes later. So you're doing a lot of singing and talking and whatever. What the kids learn in school, they're singing their songs, the Manishtana. And then next thing you know, it's 11:30 at night and you're sitting mm-hmm. down to dinner. So
yeah,
it's a long day. A lot. And then you eat a lot of matzah.
Singing. I mean, it sounds like a party.
It's an educational podcast.
Kids are singing the kids sing the songs they learn in school, and then you sing family songs together.
Hey, that sounds so nice. I would be so happy if my kids were singing songs to us.
Yeah, no, you could come to the Seder one year. I just think that it is nice, but it's a late night, and then it sort of ruins the next day. In my head, I thought we only did four ideas. I don't know why. You sure?
We have done five ideas. I am 100% positive that you had recently said that when we went back to do the Renap recap, we started doing like we said at that point it was only going to be the five ideas. You had said that that after that in the past we went from five ideas to four ideas at one point. I don't remember how long we stayed at four ideas. But in the past couple of months, we have done five ideas.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I believe you. It's just been a long day. Number five is from Anonymous. It's called Rob and Akiva Have an Ultimatum. Ooh. And this person says, based on the new Netflix show, The Ultimatum, all the RGB podcast duos are shuffled and paired up with a new person that week. Throughout the week, the new duos record a new segment about whatever. It could be Fishback and Chappelle, Jacob Jones and Akiva, Ali and Mari, Mike Bloom and TikTok Nicole. We listen to new co-host dynamics we don't usually hear. Possibilities are endless. Not really endless because there's a finite amount of duos, but still, whatever.
Do you think Steven is down for this, Rob?
Yeah. This is so disruptive to everybody's podcast that there is like almost nobody, I think, who would want to do this.
I think if Sam Moore, like Senator Feeler, like, hey, who wants to participate? Tell me what podcast. I think a lot of people say yes. Are you in the pool? Are you in the pod swapping pool for the week? Sam, come on. Sam has a good sense of what the fellow podcasters
Sam, who coordinates so much of the production, is in constant contact with so many of the podcast hosts. I don't know. Sam might have...
He might have fallen off during the mailbag.
Yeah, literally.
But what would the ultimatum be? Like, let's say I love podcasting with Mike Bloom. Like, is Liana shit out of luck? Like, what happens?
Yeah, you're stuck. Yeah, if you join the pool, it's like... you're stuck with whoever you're stuck with.
You have to make it as complicated as the ultimatum show is about its premise.
If I don't leave with a ring, I'm going to be pissed.
Okay.
Breaking news, by the way, Rob.
Yep.
Shut Up Tim says he would be honored to come on. And,
did you ask him what is the right time of year?
Of course I did. He has not responded to that. He has not responded to that part of the question yet. What is the trickiest part of time of year?
Okay. So... I would say unless that there are an overwhelming number of current RJP podcast hosts that would be interested in this, I say we leave this alone.
All right. Well, we can get a feel from Sam, but unless there's a huge demand, I agree. But anyway, that was my fifth idea of the week.
Okay. All right.
Great job, Akiva.
Great job. All right. So should we check in with what associate producer Amanda had to say, if there's anything else, any old business about from last week. And what she said was, Akiva mentioned the hot takeoff might be ready this week.
I haven't heard anything about it, but, I could send a note over to KMAC and see what's up.
Yes. Also, Akiva said that he was testing three different options for a sequel to the Oregon Trail this week.
That's going to be next week. I did start doing one of them. Start, and then I realized I'm not gonna be able to finish this week because I'm gonna have to play through all three games. It's gonna
take
a while.
How long does the game take?
I think one of them is like
aren't
an
you
hour.
The same guy who logged like 1,000 Among Us games.
This is a busy week. I had Passover. Yeah, I will. Someone tweet at me on Wednesday and remind me.
Okay. Somebody jump
I did
on that
think
grenade.
About it this week. I didn't forget. I didn't forget. I just realized I wasn't going to be able to do it.
Set a reminder to text the Akiva on Wednesday. All right. Well, we did add a lot of stuff to the wheel last week.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other pitches or things to potentially put towards the wheel?
I had a quick one.
Yes. Yes, Jason.
It's kind of like I think you guys do good at the banter stuff, so I thought maybe you could do some ratings, poll the listeners and get some topics and see what they think is overrated and underrated, and you guys talk about each topic and whether it is overrated, underrated,
Rated. Have we done this ever before, Akiva?
I'm no Renap historian. It sort of sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I like the idea.
Amanda, Nicole, does that ring a bell for you?
I mean, it's definitely a flavor of show that's like consistent with things you've done in the past, but that exact, there's probably somebody screaming at their phone right now.
Yeah,
that
so you there's have, never been anything yeah. with like rate in the mm-hmm. in the title. I'm looking through in the show notes. We have a link to all of the episodes. I don't know if we I think it's interesting. Overrated, underrated, properly rated. You know, who does that? Akiva, Gary V does that on his podcast a lot.
He says if something's overrated, underrated.
Yeah, but he always has like throw something out. I'll be him.
NFTs.
Oh, NFTs incredibly underrated. It's you know, the market is like it's 1/1,000,000,000 of what it's gonna be. Mm-hmm. It's so underrated right now. It's incredibly underrated.
Mm-hmm. Pizza.
Pizza, you know what? It's underrated. Pizza's great. People don't talk about it enough. It's fantastic. It's underrated.
I can't believe we're on a podcast
Microsoft Excel. Right
now. Microsoft Excel is properly rated. Like people, it's good. Like you know,
but Google Sheets.
So you just do that? Would there be like a panel? Would there be like somebody? What do you think, Jason? How do you think it would work?
Okay. I wonder if I may jump in. That we should get the list of things and then maybe, is this too much of the census? Have to predict what did the audience say? Did the audience
say also give our opinion
overrated, underrated, properly rated?
That's good. I like that.
I think that's good. I think it's different from the census.
That was what I said.
we could give our takes.
Okay. So Jay, that was the way you pitched it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Oh,
okay.
I didn't catch that. Sorry about either.
I thought that people cared what Akiva and I thought were overrated, underrated, properly rated.
No, Jason doesn't care. Jason wants the math.
Yes. We okay. So that I think that's fun, and then nobody's gonna get mad at us for like, oh, how did you said blueberries were overrated and they're not.
But you guys do give your opinions on what you think it is.
Sure, and we're guessing also. But
you're trying to see what the audience also thought, and if you guys agree or disagree.
Okay. And what's the name of this podcast? Master Raiders.
What about our properly?
Yeah.
No,
Raider.
Robin Akiva are properly rated. What about that?
Are properly rated? Or yeah, I think that's fine. Okay, let's put that onto the wheel.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay,
that's really
good. Pitch,
last second wheel pitch.
Ooh, yes.
Okay, properly rated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Should we wheel jam that? Is that
ethical?
Ethical? Okay. Properly rated. All right. Here we go. Let's talk about what's on the wheel as of right now. Heading into episode number 173. Season 3, episode 7. The coin flip. The crappy movie diaper. Guest choice. Could be a little bit of a sticky situation there. The 2022 hot takeoff. Akiva says not eligible for next week. We have the 5 spot, Robin Akiva, our extra, oops, all mailbag, listener choice. I literally just told you the Akiva Drive spot, Bollywood, Renappers Gone Wild, Robin Akiva Need a New Catchphrase, Listener Rodeo, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was added last week.
Yes.
Robin Akiva, this is how we roll.
But can we remind people what they are? So Listener Rodeo, How We Roll is the name of a CBS show. We're just going to watch whatever episodes that week if it comes up while it's still on there.
Right.
Listener Rodeo is basically listeners call up and they try and stay on the phone with us for as long as possible. Winner's the person who stays on for as long as possible.
Sure. And then if we are bored with them or we want to go, then we're going to, we're looking for any reason to get rid of them.
And then Robin Akiva hit rock bottom. We're going to watch the two worst rock movies. Somebody did sort of pitch that maybe we should... That should be a permanent spot on the wheel. And then we always sort of watch the worst rock. Like maybe we have like the 5 worst rock movies in a bag or something. And we pick one of them out.
Interesting.
So like we're always watching one of the worst rock movies.
In a bag of rocks? Yeah.
In a bag of rocks with the names on them. And we're always watching like the worst.
I think that we don't need a device. I think we watch whatever is the next worst rock movie.
Yeah, that was part of a pitch also.
Mm-hmm.
But because the first one we're watching two, do you think we should just watch one at a time? And keeps and stays on the wheel forever.
Let's poll the panel, okay? Jason, what do you think on Robin Akiva hit rock bottom?
I think one at a time is good. I do also think there's a chance to rotate out the person that you're picking the worst movie for, One could be The Rock. The other could be like, I don't know, Ben Affleck. One could be
what's
Kevin
the
Hart.
Worst
I don't know.
Ben Affleck movie?
Is that like Geely or something? Wasn't he in that?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Geely.
Are you sure that we don't stand Geely now?
Yeah. Well,
Ben and Jerry are back, baby.
I know. Honestly,
we love stuff from 20 years ago.
We're ready for Geely 2, baby.
Should be in the crappy movie diaper.
Geely 2 would be huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Worst.
Is that just Marry Me?
No, well, that's Owen Wilson. Not in that. That's for the Cars, the Cars 3X. Okay, worst rated Ben Affleck movie.
Okay, I think it's Geely.
Is it Geely?
I think so.
That's one of like the notoriously worst movies.
I think it also it doesn't hold up well either. Okay. Yeah, I think that there's like a depiction of a special needs person that does not hold up well. Okay.
Maybe there's a reason these bad movies are bad.
According to Rotten Tomatoes, you know what the best Ben Affleck movie is? I don't know what year this is from.
Good Will Hunting?
I don't know. According to this, it's Mallrats, 57%. I don't know what happened.
That seems impossible. Yeah.
That's low.
He's never had something over 57?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
He's the main character in Mallrats.
Okay. No, he's not the main. He's the guy from Fashionable Male.
Okay.
I think Daredevil should be used in consideration for the worst movie. That was really bad.
Okay, so Geely is the second lowest rated Ben Affleck movie. The worst is a movie called The Last Thing He Wanted from 2020. Which I don't know if that was like a direct to Netflix special or something like that. Surviving Christmas with James Gandolfini is the third worst.
I've never heard of The Last Thing He Wanted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a political thriller film based on the 1996 novel by Joan Didion. And it stars Anne Hathaway, Ben Affleck.
Yeah, rounding out the top 10 at number 6 is Pearl Harbor from 2001. Mm-hmm. Number 7 is Reindeer Games. Number 9 is Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10 is 2007 Smokin' Aces.
Yeah, those are all bad.
I thought this was not as fun. Many bad movies. Why is this just guy in famous? One
that got panned really bad.
Which one?
He was just in one that got panned really bad. I forgot what Dark Water or something.
Dark Water. Okay. The Accountant somehow was very high. It's 51%. It's the second best movie.
It has to be higher than 57, Rob. There's no way.
Sam Morris has pointed out that Argo won Best Picture and has 96%.
But was he in it?
He directed it, right?
I know he directed it.
He wasn't. He was the main character in it.
Okay.
Sam Morris, did you miss that we called for you before? What happened? Come on screen if you're available.
Okay. Tell bestlifeonline.com the worst Ben Affleck movies of all time according to critics. Tell them.
Sorry, I took a bathroom break. My bad.
Sam, we have a question for you.
Yeah.
So, Rob, what was the pitch? Do you remember?
How many RHAP co-hosts are going to basically do an ultimatum type swap spots to make the Robin Akiva Get an Ultimatum work?
Okay.
Give me a number, enough for it to be. How many are going to be interested in that?
I mean, if like, ER people will go on Friends that week and vice versa.
Do they have to crossover? Be interested, or can we just tell them that they're doing it?
No, I want to know not names, but a number in your head.
Interested, like 0, 1 people that we could.
I think I know one.
You think if you send out a form and like check a box, everyone says no.
I think people would do it begrudgingly, but exactly. How many people would be actually interested by the idea? I think it would be 2.
Yeah, I think the number is pretty low if we don't force people.
Jason, you wouldn't switch up Married at First Sight for a week?
Well, I mean, are we switching our actual shows?
Oh, yeah, you're switching your shows. You meant shows. I thought we were talking couples.
What? No, what is wrong with you?
That's why I was so low.
It's 10 minutes. Who are the two people you think would actually switch couples?
I don't know. I have no idea who.
see a different side of Sam around here.
Gossip Girl here. XOXO. I have no idea
who. That's why I'm like, probably none unless we force them. Because I
don't know. What do you think? We're going to force the workplaces.
I don't know. Force people to switch partners.
Uh-oh. I don't know. That's why I was so confused.
What is this?
Like,
what is this?
How was that your first assumption?
Because that's what the show is. I'm sorry for thinking
I didn't know what the ultimatum's about, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking like the show.
That's a large jump, Sam.
Maybe I should have explained. Yeah, so basically, it would be like a crossover episode.
Podcast co-hosts.
People switch podcasts for the week.
Podcast
I was like, Sam, are you insane? Like, I'm sure a lot of people would want to do this. It seems like a fun idea.
Oh, yeah. Once. Yeah, we could probably get a bunch of people to do that.
See? Okay. All right. The moment has passed. I don't know.
Okay. You already squeezed the juice out of it. We needed.
All right. All right. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Okay.
Goodbye.
All right.
You got a new clip for the best of
Nicole's reaction.
That was a lot.
Oh, you want to spin the wheel?
Let's spin the wheel.
I would pay $100. Well, I'm not going to say that because he'll DM me right now.
Sam, could you
several dollars?
This is why I was so confused.
Sam, could you email all the podcast hosts and see if they would do a couple swap?
No, that's why I was like, why is this coming up?
I want to know who he thought would say yes. I really
want to talk about ultimatum, not wife swap, Sam.
No, that's why, like, you know, you throw a dart, maybe you hit something, but like, I was like zero, maybe one. Like, I was not high.
Who was the one, Sam?
I don't know.
And now
you have someone in mind.
You had someone in mind.
I don't.
You had someone in mind.
Personal business.
You were thinking of a specific person.
I didn't. I was just like saying, like, otherwise it wouldn't have been a conversation. If
you could just put it in the chat, Sam. It's fine. You don't need to say it. Just put it in the chat. Okay.
All right. Let's get to the wheel.
In the wheel. Thank you, Sam.
Oh my God.
Sam's got to come on more often. Iconic moments.
Okay. All right. Coming in hot. All right. Let's go ahead and get ready for episode number 173. We've got a wheel spin. Here we go. What's coming up on the wheel next week? Okay. Oh, it's the listener rodeo.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
So how are we going to do this, Uncle Kiwi? This is going to be a Twitter Spaces, or is this going to be a Zoom call?
What did we say last week?
I think that a Twitter Spaces, I think, would be easier to do.
And we're just calling up people from the panel?
Yeah, because I think that with Zoom, like having done like a lot of this stuff, like I think that with a Zoom, a lot of times it's like, all right, let's bring this person on. All right. And then it's like, it could take like, you know, 30 to 45 seconds for people to like get their camera on, unmute.
Yeah, okay,
whereas I think the Twitter Spaces, probably it's like maybe like 10 seconds to get a new person on.
All right, I'm in.
Okay. Then, you know, you have people can just like jump in. If anybody is terrible, they get run immediately. You know, no big deal.
Yeah. Probably helps if you have your real name also, if you want us to call you up.
Yeah, I almost never am going to pick up anybody on Twitter Spaces that doesn't have a profile picture.
Yeah. Yeah, or at least like a name I recognize for, you know, back. Do you want to set a time now? So people could plan on coming on.
Well, maybe we want to have Sam Moore back in the mix. Sam, could you let us know in the chat the target window of when we're looking at doing this? But I think probably Saturday afternoon, Eastern time is we're looking at. But also helps if you're the back half of your Twitter handle isn't 874565553211.
Yeah.
Those tend to be
in general,
you know, on the not worst social media app, the worst people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
The more numbers at the end, typically, Amanda, that's my TED talk.
What happened numbers? Yeah. I'm Keith 26. Yeah. I think two is an okay amount of numbers.
Two is okay.
To have, right?
When you get to like seven numbers at the end of your Twitter handle.
I think five is
pushing it. It's an exponential chart. More numbers, the worse the Twitter account. I used to, you know, rally against underscores. I've dropped that platform. Mm-hmm. Numbers at the end of your Twitter profile.
John is going to be so happy.
Yeah.
Better an underscore than a string of numbers.
I'd rather, you know, five underscores than six numbers.
The multi on the underscore. That's something.
That's the move. That's a power move.
It's a power move. Okay. All right. Let's thank our panel once again for making this a great episode. Of course, we'll start with the star of Around the Nicole Horn. Nicole, where can people keep up with what you're doing?
You can find me on social media at Behind the Secret, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you're following me online and not in real life, that's probably the best. And if you want to hear me talk about Top Chef, I'm over on Silent Podcasts, where there is plenty of fighting.
Okay. How is the season of Top Chef?
It's really good. Like, I think me, Naomi, and Gia want to take like a first trip out, a girls trip out to Houston, go hang out with Chappelle and eat some barbecue very soon.
Mm-hmm. You should do that. That sounds like fun.
Okay.
No, that sounds like my dream trip.
It'd be more than fun.
No, that is like girls night to a T. That would be amazing.
Okay.
And Chappelle always is invited to girls night.
All right. Then Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz, of course, we mentioned the critically acclaimed and incredibly popular Severance post-show recap. Also, that you podcast also the WeWork show, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, so I'm also podcasting a post-show recaps about We Crashed, which is the Apple TV Plus show that covers WeWork. So if you follow me on Twitter, you can see everything that I'm up to. I hope to keep on podcasting, so there might be more in store. And you can follow me at Dr. Amanda R on Twitter. That's Dr. Amanda R.
Amanda, are you on the Apple TV Plus beat over on Post Show Recaps?
I think I've been put on the Apple TV Plus beat, and there's like great
except shows. For the most popular show there,
Ted Lasso. Yeah, yeah. Well, Severance is I think you know, up and coming as a big one. Yeah, so Ted Lasso is covered, but there's lots of new interesting stuff coming out from Apple TV Plus.
Akiva turned me on to For All Mankind, but then I watched the whole series, and then I feel like he didn't even watch it.
I did. I finished it. I was stuck during the Olympics, but I finished it. What do you think?
I loved it. But you told me like I was like, oh, what's it? What like what's about it? You couldn't tell me anything about it. It's like, well, what's different? He's like, well, you're like some kids wear like Russia T-shirts, and then like that didn't even happen. That wasn't even in the show.
It did happen. It did happen. I didn't make that.
People think Russia is really cool. And like,
there is a scene where kids are wearing Russia T-shirts. But, okay. Yeah, For All Mankind is good. But the WeWork show is not so good, Amanda. Right.
I mean, I would never podcast it every week about the show that I podcast in a public forum.
I podcast about it. There's really, too many
really good performances. It's interesting. It's, I mean, if you know the story, there's diminishing returns to watching, you know, every single episode. But it's worth checking out. Yeah.
Jared Leto, right?
Jared Leto and Anne Hathaway.
Pretty big names, honestly, for
Apple TV Plus
brings a lot of the stars out.
It really does, yeah.
Okay.
Disney Plus, take notes. Get Tom Bergeron back.
Okay, all right. Well, great job today, Amanda. And then Jason Reed back with us. Is this five times for you yet, Jason?
This is four. So,
four.
You know,
okay,
four.
Get that almost hat on there. Standby.
We'll get it on ice.
Okay. Jason, what's coming up for you?
According to the previous conversation, I'm nervous to reveal my Twitter handle, but it is JAYR1085.
You're right on the line. You're one number away.
All right.
Once you get to a zip code.
Yeah.
It's trouble.
You can find me podcasting about Married at First Sight, which we did confirm that season 10 is now on Netflix. So watch that. We're in season 14 right now. Recapping that season with my co-host Asia Welch,
Do you know is that like the Survivor Heroes versus Villains of Married at First Sight? Like, is that the best season? Season 10?
Yes, season 10 is considered one of the best seasons. It's got some of the best drama of the series, so they picked a very good season to pick to be their lead out on Netflix.
They know what they're doing.
Yep. Also on Post Show Recaps, recapping Winning Time HBO Max. With Grace Leader, so check that out when you can. We're having a fun time recapping that one. It's been a fun first season, so check us out there as well.
Can I ask that? So I have not been keeping up with Winning Time, but I heard that there was a moment about a person in Winning Time who it was revealed that they performed their own circumcision. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, it's a interesting moments of scenes there as he talks about why he did it, and very interesting locker room moment as well.
Yeah. Okay. So if that's not an endorsement for checking out Winning Time, I don't know what is. Yeah.
Vibe check passed.
All right. Cool. All right. And then Uncle Kiwi, what's coming up for you?
We got NGOG this week. We did a triple episode. That was fun. We have,
you covered three fans. Episodes in one podcast, correct?
It was like a three. It was like a three. Yes, we covered three episodes in one. It was a three parter on New Girl and a one parter on NGOG. 32 fans. We played a fun for us, but very complicated game.
It was very complicated.
It was very complicated, but we had a good time.
You two were enjoying yourselves.
Yes, we enjoyed ourselves on the patron feed. And then the main feed was, what did we do this week? NBA. I think it was an NBA preview. We did an NBA preview on the main feed on 32 fans. And Passover. I'd like to plug Passover. Mm-hmm. Holiday for such fun. We got Passover. We got Easter. We got Ramadan. Something for everyone, truly, this week. Very fun.
All right. And of course, plenty going on over on Robin's podcast. It was a huge double episode of Survivor. It's some really fun podcasts. Christian Hubicki joined us. I talked with Tiffany Seeley on the feedback show. I talked to one of Nicole's co-hosts over on the Top Chef recap, Gia Worthy, on the patron-only Survivor Academy. So lots of great Survivor stuff coming your way over at robhasawebsite.com. Plus, I got the chance to talk about Formula One Drive to Survive over on Nothing But Netflix. Chappelle and I talked with Amy Chan. Have you watched any of that, Akiva?
Yeah, I've seen all of it.
Yeah.
I've watched every season.
You like it?
Yeah, well, I watch the races also. I watch the races every Sunday.
It says the spoilers. You get the spoilers.
I get the, exactly. I watch the spoilers, and then you get excited. But it's one of those shows you get excited to, like, ooh, I can't wait to see this.
We only covered just, it was basically like why you should check it out. We watched.
How many episodes did you watch?
I watched just the first episode of season four. Chappelle watched a couple more, and Amy is a super fan.
Did it make you like maybe curious to watch the sport more?
I have no interest in watching the sport. I would watch more episodes of the show.
The show's really good. Honestly, you could just watch the show and you'd be fine.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all so much for being here with us for Around the Nicole Horn. We'll be back with the listener rodeo looking at probably around, 1-2 o'clock on Saturday coming up next week. So
probably more too. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Keep an eye. We'll have it on Twitter for you if you want to be in the listener rodeo coming up next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.